Hey, kids, how would you like to hear this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Nothing is off limits. While at the same time, I urge you guys to be cool.
What is it?
I've never encountered anything like this before.
For good music by big name stars, tune in to this station.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother Tupac.
Kanye, do you like hot Cheetos at all? Have you tried the hot Cheetos yet?
Yeah, I grew up on hot Cheetos.
Oh, they're the best. Oh, aren't they the best? Don't you love them?
Yeah, I was going to put a rhyme where I was going to say I got caught red-handed like hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
And now,
I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's skirted my own name, didn't I? Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Monday, the 24th of Blovember.
My wiener's going crazy, and it won't stop.
Well. That's what happens.
That happens.
I'm not sure
for that. That happens from about age 11 on.
Yeah, pretty much.
7 for me, but 11 for most kids.
You developed
sure.
early.
You know.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? How was the weekend? Bean?
I didn't actually leave the house this weekend. I have been in since Friday.
So perfect for you?
It was fine. Yeah, it was fine. I caught. I've been traveling and busy, and I was able to catch up on some TV over the weekend, which I was excited about, and... You know, the goddamn puppies. But my wife had some excitement over the weekend that's kind of worth mentioning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw on the news or not about the mall shooting that we had up here on Saturday.
Did not.
She was at the mall when a guy opened fire and shot some people.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
How much did you have to pay him?
Well, I wasn't involved at all. But
oh.
it was weird. She was leaving the mall at the time. I mean, she was... I don't know, 100 feet away, I guess, from where the guy started shooting, and it was just crazy. I mean, as she was walking out, driving out, all the SWAT teams and everything were coming in. And,
wow!
It was just—I mean, you hear about those things all the time, and of course, they're just—you know—it's random. You never know who's going to be there, but it was still a little bit of a surprise to find out that she was there because I'm watching the thing on the news, and then she calls me and goes, "Wow, you'll never guess what just happened."
Okay, wait.
She called him and said, well, you'll never guess what just happened. And Bean said, because he does this to us all the time, yeah, I know, I'm watching it.
Well, I was aware of the shooting. I was watching it. I did have the news on, but I did not know that she was at that mall at that time of the shooting, though.
She starts to describe it to him, and he corrects her on all her facts.
No, it was not. It was outside Hot Topic.
So she heard the gunfire? And
yes. Yes.
Dude.
She must have been scared to death.
Yeah, she was a little, it was, you know, it's kind of shaky. It's not the type of thing you ever expect to see or have happen to you, that's for sure.
No, I didn't know the story. I mean, how many people were actually shot?
Well, I think only two got hit, one died, and they still haven't found the gunman yet.
Oh my God.
How do you not find the gunman? No kidding.
Well, I mean, I think there's chaos in that first minute, and who knows, maybe he was able to get out. And I mean, they did, you know, when the police came, they did, you know, lock it down and start going, you know, start looking at and interviewing everybody there before they let him out. But who knows, either somebody couldn't identify him or he was able to get out before the lockdown. I don't know.
Did your wife dump the weapon in a trash can in the food court?
I'm pretty sure she has. I haven't asked her directly. I'm pretty sure it wasn't her.
Maybe you should.
I don't think she was the shooter.
I'm just saying she was there.
Yeah.
Perhaps a question.
It doesn't seem likely that it was her. Anyway, so that was unusual, right? That's not something that happens every day.
That's a story to save and tell for years.
There's a shooting. I know. I'm watching TV. Can I get back to it now? But I know.
By the way, as we hear about everyone else's weekend, you can pick up the phone and give us a call for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. We do every day about this time. 1-800-520-1067. Get out of the air. Get a prize.
Went to the Los Angeles Kings game on Saturday night.
Yes.
Ended up losing in a shootout. But I sat next to... He had to be... 75, 80-year-old, and was cursing the entire night. He was a foul-mouthed a-hole. I mean, he was just, you mother-effing, goddamn,
wow.
The whole, throughout the entire game. And I thought, that guy rules. I wish that was my grandfather.
Well, maybe it'll be you when you're old.
It'll be great. You soon, yeah.
Oh, it'll be me. It's me now, but the guy's 80 years old, and he's cursing at the refs and at the players and at other fans. He's just...
I hope you got his number. You two should hang out.
I know. Cool. Sounds cool, but no. I was afraid to talk to him, to be honest. I didn't want him to beat the hell out of me.
Was there were there complaints from anyone in the stands around him? Because sometimes that happens at a sporting event when
not
you get that kind of language.
Not much
game, right?
For hockey, no. And there was also a, not bench clearing, but everyone on the ice pretty much was involved in a fight. There were, I don't know, 8 penalties or something.
Oh, that's cool.
It was awesome. They just started throwing gloves and helmets and just started swinging, and it was just mayhem.
Good time.
And the dude next to me could not have been happier. He just wanted to see just people die. So anyway, it was good. It was good fun. They lost in a shootout, but that's the way it goes. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
Lisa, how about you? Anything fun?
I was telling Kevin off the air that I went to see the James Bond movie.
Yes.
I'm going to see Twilight this week, but I didn't really want to venture the crowds.
Right. You want to face the teenage girls.
Exactly. And I was very disappointed in that movie.
In which one?
The new James Bond.
I hear that it's just okay.
Look, I know Ralph said, like, the action is great. I guess the action would be great if you could actually understand anything that was happening, but they do those really quick cuts. You have no idea at any point who's where or what's going on. So annoying.
I'm able to block out your review because I want it to be good and I'm still going.
Well, you know, I would still go, too, because it's James Bond. You have to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's right. There's, like, no sex at all. The story's very confusing. I don't know.
But at least there's no sex in a James Bond movie.
I know.
Wow. All right. We'll take your phone calls. Any topic, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Get on the air, get a prize. Let's see what we have today. Oh, it's another one from Lightning's Prize Closet. It's a pair of tickets to the 28th Annual International Motorcycle Show coming up at the Long Beach Convention Center the weekend of December 5th. That's a specialty item that I'm certain that all of our listeners will enjoy.
Let's say good morning to Curtis in West Covina. Good morning, Curtis.
Good morning, guys. What's happening? What it do?
What's going on?
Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer.
Oh, last night.
24 is back, yeah.
He's back, and it was a two-hour episode last night. Very excited about that, except for now we have to wait for at least a month.
January.
For it to come back.
Great. I'll tell you, Jack doesn't skip the beat, man. That guy is in something else. He
is something else, and he's got some bad days, that guy.
He sure does.
He yells a lot.
Doesn't matter how many times he tries to walk away from an issue. It comes right back to him.
They pull him back in. That's true. That is true. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I'm very excited to see 24.
Yeah.
But like we say, if you T-voted or whatever, you got plenty of time to watch it over the holidays before
that's
the next
true.
One comes
you
along.
Just save it.
I watched the first couple of seasons, enjoyed it very much, but I just couldn't sign up for another bad day for Jack Bauer.
And
here it is. Here's like 4 years later. It's still going strong.
Jennifer in San Dimas. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do,
baby boo?
Hello.
What's going on?
So, wondering if you guys watched the Chargers game last night and John Madden's commentary.
I watched part of it, but John Madden's commentary didn't stand out. Did he say something absurd?
They were talking about a pick, and John Madden says, okay, so a pick is a pick is a pick. And if you're going to do the pick, you got to just do the pick, right? It's just a pick. And I'm looking at my husband... And I'm like, is he crazy?
Well, he is. That's true.
And the first thing out of my mouth is, I'm calling Kevin and being in the morning.
Yeah, he is crazy. We'll have to try and find that. You remember what part of the game it was?
It was like right after, it was like third quarter.
Third quarter, okay.
All right, we might have that taped. It's funny, I don't generally have a preference for whether the Chargers win or lose, but because of our guest last week,
are the reason. You're the reason.
No, he didn't play. Remember, he's hurt. But we had Sean Merriman in.
On the sideline.
We had Sean Merriman in on Thursday. Great guy. Really enjoyed talking to him. Really made me start thinking, hey, I hope the Chargers win. And then they ended up losing, I guess, in the last play of the game. It was one of those military field goals in Indianapolis ended up winning.
Last 2 seconds of the game.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurts like that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you
Chargers
for the call.
Had a very frustrating season. That's for sure.
And bizarre, like we pointed out last week, it's a strange season where they'll destroy and then they'll win, lose to a team that's, I don't know, it's hard to put it all together.
Let's talk to Richard in Corona. He's on line three this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning on K-Rock. Hey, Richard, what it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I have an idea for a contest for you. Hot Cheeto gets six guys to eat as many hot Cheetos as they can without getting the fear. Because I ate a quarter bag on Friday, and I was running for my life.
A quarter of a bag? That's it?
You're weak.
Oh, man. I was hurting.
Wow.
It was ugly. I think you just get six guys, set them around a table, and see who can eat the most without getting the fear.
I don't really want to watch a guy get the fear.
I think you could do it at the your Double December party or something.
Mm. Is that sexy? Oh.
Let me think about that. We could focus on women who have very few clothes on, or sit around a table and wait for the fear.
Wait for watch men's ass.
I think I'm going to go with women.
It is funny, though, the thing about hot Cheetos is that people that become addicted to them can't stop eating them, yet there does come a point pretty early on that you shouldn't eat anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no question.
I think they should be parceled out a little bit, I think.
Let's go to Abraham in El Monte. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I have an idea of why those hot Cheetos might be so addictive.
Okay.
I was looking online, and it turns out that some chili, it burns the tongue, and it releases endorphins, which causes a pleasure sensation. Maybe people end up getting addicted to that.
So you think because of the spices,
who have suggested that.
Because of the spices, it makes you feel better.
Right, right.
Hmm.
Yeah, they say it's just like exercise or something like that. You get an endorphin that your body starts to crave, and that's what makes you want to continue to eat or go back to eating hot Cheetos is because of the high. It's a little bit of a physical high that it gives you with spicy foods.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a legitimate theory. Thank you for the call, Abraham.
I thought that guy was crazy. I went to him because I thought he was crazy.
No, it's actually true.
Huh. How about that? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
It's Monday morning. We have Jim Berry from Consumer Electronics Association talking about holiday gadgets.
Awesome.
Stuff maybe you could buy this Christmas season for a loved one or me.
I need a bunch of webcams, so I want to hear what's new on that front.
Wow.
That sounds creepy, doesn't
it? That is automatically creepy just because of who said it.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying.
But they can't be visible.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. Talk about the celebs and what's going on with them.
Okay.
Stupid lies you told to get out of trouble. We all have these. This is where you go, oh, I'm in so much trouble. I got to come up with something right away. And then you come up with it and then you go, what was I thinking? I don't know how I could have even tried to tell that lie. So there's a dude that tried to convince his girlfriend or wife, Bean? Girlfriend?
Wife.
Wife. That his iPhone sent out a picture of his penis without him wanting to. It was a glitch.
I didn't send it to that woman's email address.
No.
I've never heard of that.
It wasn't me. It was the phone. It just sent it. I didn't have anything to say about it. So she went to Apple and asked him. And it didn't turn out so well for
him. Did it just take the picture of the penis as well?
Apparently. I don't know. Apparently it had him pose. And also we have some live music from Scott Weiland this morning.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be in the studio. We're going to be talking about, of course, STP playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 one night. That's the Saturday night. And then Scott Weiland will be doing solo stuff on the Sunday night.
Very cool.
I saw Mr. Weiland on the American Music Awards last night, and I am hoping that he still plans on coming in today.
Really?
Well, you know Scott.
Sure.
Let's just say that at one point Jimmy Kimmel said, hey, now that Miley Cyrus is 16, she can drive. Maybe she can give Mr. Weiland a ride home.
Oh, no.
So I'm a little bit concerned about his early appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
I think I'm confident. I think he'll be here.
I hope he is. I love him, and I want him to be well, and I'm very much looking forward to Scott coming in.
But he's a professional.
Made me a little bit nervous. When I saw him last night around 6 p.m. and saw what he was like, I thought, well, he's got 12 hours to work that out.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Look it up in the book. That's Scott Weiland right there. Doesn't sound very good, but he had a rough night that night. Okay. All right, 5:44. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. I think it's
I
think it's over.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the Kevin DeBede Show at KROQ, 106.7 KROQ, talking about bands like The Offspring and STP and Rise Against and AFA and The Cure and The Killers and Death Cab and Paramore.
AFA.
Or AFI.
AFI is better than AFA.
AFA's better.
They're all going to be there. We're talking about the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. How are we giving away the tickets here this morning? We haven't made mention of that. Are we listening for a song or anything, Mike, or what are we doing? What's going on?
Yes, we are.
Naked with Granddaughter.
Yep.
That's how we're giving away.
It is. I'm looking.
They don't. They don't.
Offspring.
They don't give you that.
The Offspring self-esteem.
Self-esteem.
Yeah.
Not on your paperwork anywhere.
There's a lot of paperwork. Nothing about this though.
Huh. Yeah. That would be paramount.
Well, you would think so. Paramore.
Stingy with the details that we need.
Yeah. So it's The Offspring. That's what you're listening for. Then be caller
20.
20.
Wow.
We're just making it up as we go along.
This group is a dynamic force.
Well-oiled machine, yes.
First show ever?
Ever. That's right.
5:52, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Well, Kevin proved to be psychic when he predicted that Twilight would indeed make over $70 million in its debut weekend. 70.6.
Oh, my God, that was close.
Wow.
If we're playing Lick Lisa, you'd have to say that's pretty spot on. So, Kevin, here is your
$40. Oh, that's very what nice. I'm talking about.
Hey,
thank you,
sir.
Apropos are you sure wager?
You sure you want to give that to him right now, Ralph?
Yes.
Because, you know, the final figures come out today, and they occasionally do adjust for, you know, for accurate box office information.
I don't care.
Okay.
Ralph and I go with the Monday total. We're not looking through the news for the Tuesday
reboot. I'm not going to ask for a recount. I'm not going to see if there's any hanging chads or anything.
I just remember the Bond movie was 70, and then they rounded it down to 67 and a half when the final figures came in. That's all I'm
just suggesting.
Why are you
trying to take money out of a brother's pocket?
Well, just wanted it to be fair. That's all.
It's just a bet, Bean. It's okay. No one has to lose a limb or anything. It's just a little...
I'm not suggesting that at all.
It's just a little cash.
Here's a clip from Twilight.
Lunchtime's almost over. Should we drink some more blood?
Yeah!
Hear about the two nutty Australian broads?
Oh, no. No.
21 and 20, I think. Two lesbian lover vampire cultists.
Yeah.
Who killed a 16-year-old girl to drink her blood.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Twilight kills.
Good times.
And the worst part is they put them in the same women's prison together. So they said now during the exercise yard, I mean, they're just all over each other making out and having sex and stuff. And
gave what they wanted.
Yeah, pretty much. So... Twilight Kills is what we're saying.
Twilight Kills.
Quantum of Solace, Lisa's favorite new movie.
Yeah, boy. I can't wait to see that again.
Came in at $27.4 million this weekend, a significant drop-off from its opening weekend. What were you bitching about Quantum of Solace?
Well, I understand that the action was the good part of the movie.
Sure.
But it was that real quick cut where you really couldn't see what was going on.
Born Identity-esque cutting. Yeah. Well, were you in the front row?
I didn't like that. I was at the Dome, but I was back far enough. Yeah. I just found it really annoying. I wanted to see what was going on.
I was able to follow that.
Huh. Yeah, sort of.
I wish they didn't have a script.
Still looking forward
to
it.
Yeah, that would be nice, too.
That would have helped.
A script.
Bolt was number 3 at the box office this weekend. The new animated film, $27 million in Madagascar 2. Role Models, Changeling, High School Musical 3, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Huh?
And Secret Life of Bees.
That's that fun Holocaust movie for kids.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Secret Lives of Bees is never going to go away, is it?
It's really hanging in there, isn't
it's just
it?
Just stuck.
It's going to be the new... Wizard of Oz. It's going to be a perennial family favorite forever and ever. We're going to have to deal with it. Guy Ritchie and Madonna, of course, getting divorced. Everyone talking about the fact that Guy's not taking any of Madonna's money for himself. However, the New York Daily News discloses that Guy may be getting some cash from Madonna for child support. Guy will, get joint custody of their two little boys. She will have to pay $15,000 per month in child support.
A month?
A month.
Well, how much are the kids going to be with him?
How do you spend that much money on a kid?
Part-time.
$15,000 a month.
Gold diapers?
Honestly.
Security detail?
First-class tickets to London?
You don't understand how Japanese business works, Kevin. That's your problem.
I can't imagine how you could if you wanted to spend that much money
on a
kid. Seriously,
if you flew him first class back and forth, it could cost that.
Yeah, I guess.
Meanwhile, a British tabloid says that the reason Madonna gave for their marriage failing was Guy Ritchie's unreasonable behavior. Yeah, that's
right.
What it was. It was him being nuts.
Yeah.
He seems like a diva.
Yeah, you watering down your kid's orange juice with Kabbalah water. It's him.
Yep.
He's the unreasonable one. Speaking of celebrity couples, interesting list in Forbes magazine this month. The top 10 money-making Hollywood couples.
Top 10 money. So they're just their income?
Yes.
Okay.
Fifth was Brad and Angelina.
Oh, I thought they'd be number one.
Yeah. Right. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill were fourth on the list.
Okay.
Then Victoria and David Beckham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Third on the list. Then Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. Second on the list, made $86 million combined last year.
Wow. Last year.
Last year.
Just last year.
That was last year.
Mm-hmm. And that's 84 of that as well, or?
Yeah, I guess so. And the number one money-making power couple in Hollywood, according to Forbes magazine, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Combined, they made $161 million last year.
Last year.
Last year.
So the year before, they probably made that much as well.
Maybe a little less. Maybe only $150 million. But last year, we know for sure, it was $161 million.
I got to start rapping.
It's good to know the recession doesn't affect everyone, doesn't it?
You do have to get back to your rap career, Kevin. I think not only are you doing yourself a disservice, but the American public.
Did you see Beyonce on the show last night, Ralph? Did you see her performing on the American Music Awards?
I tried to watch that show, and I just couldn't choke it down. Just could not get it.
That's what she said.
She couldn't be any hotter.
She is way hot.
She is way hot.
I saw her in a bunch of DirecTV commercials all weekend. I know that was. I was watching football, and she wants to upgrade me.
She does.
Let her do that.
I was upgrading my pants while I was watching her.
She should upgrade your team while she's there.
Oh, how good are they? They benched Donovan McNabb at the half.
That's rough.
Pro Bowl quarterback Donovan McNabb got benched.
Yeah.
At what point does Andy Reid, as the coach, say, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's the fact that I will not run the ball ever.
Well,
no one can play well when the entire defense knows exactly what you're going to do on every down. It just doesn't work that way,
Andy.
Yeah,
that's true.
You fat bastard.
There was so much weird, strange stuff with that Eagles game yesterday. Just everything about it. The post-game interviews. Taking out Donovan McNabb, just there was a really weird.
It's a team
vibe.
That's melting down. They're just a nightmare.
Ralph, I wasn't trying to read too much into it, but Donovan McNabb is pacing the sidelines like a lion after they benched him, which has never happened in his career before. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
They pull him for performance, okay?
Yeah.
And then his backup comes in. What's his name? Colt?
Kevin Cobb.
Cobb, yeah. He comes in, throws an interception, and I've never seen Donovan McNabb applaud more heartily than he was from the sidelines. And I know it was supposed to be, come on, team, we're coming back, it's okay. But it looked to me like he couldn't have been happier to see that other guy come in and throw an interception after he had already thrown two.
No, he was obviously trying to root the guys on. It's going to be okay. We're going to come back. He was trying to be a team player.
Yeah, didn't
but
work.
At least they pulled him out to put in powerhouse Kevin Cobb, who went to throw two more interceptions in the end zone.
He did? Two more? I turned it off.
Two altogether.
After he threw it and the guy caught it 6-8 yards deep and ran it the whole way back.
Reed ran back. 108-yard return.
I was like, okay,
an NFL record. It's like, don't sit Donovan McNabb down if you're going to put this guy in. You got Matt Cassel on the bench, or, you know, you got, when we had Jeff Garcia as a backup, yeah, I can see that. But this guy, he's no savior.
Yeah.
It was frustrating. But at least now
it's time for a little Suck It Philly. Suck It Philly.
Oh, that hurts.
At least now the season's over, so I don't have to worry about it.
It is?
Oh, yeah. No. It is in Philadelphia.
Just for you.
And speaking of Will Smith, as I tried to earlier, he is still one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. Apparently, he's shooting a movie down in Miami, and he took a break from filming last week to go visit the sick kids at the Miami Children's Hospital.
How nice.
Huh.
Showed up with a truckload of stuffed animals, DVDs. Came in, signed autographs for everyone, then left a big cash donation and left after saying hi to all the kids in the different wards.
That's pretty cool.
President of the hospital said that they were deeply moved by the true spirit of joy he brought to their little patients and said they're honored to have him as part of the Miami Children's Hospital family. So I know I do a lot of slamming on celebrities, but every once in a while I see a story I think it's worth talking about. The nice things that some of these people do with their fame and fortune. And Will Smith seems to be one of those guys.
Yep. Good guy.
Good guy. Nice man. Philadelphian. That's why he's nice. Because, you know, Philly's known for being nice.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. One of my favorite showbiz stories ever. Former Beatle drummer Pete Best is 67 years old today.
Recap his sterling career.
Here's a guy who, when the Beatles were still an up-and-coming group in Liverpool, decided that he would go work at his dad's bakery and he was leaving the band.
And then they went
then
on
they
to be the Beatles.
We came on to be the Beatles. But at least now he can say, ha, I'm still alive.
That's
I'm
true.
I'm 67. What do two of them have to say about that?
That's right.
Who wants a donut? There's three dead, Mike? There's three Beatles who are dead? Mike, give me three. The three sign. No, it's just
you think of Ringo's career.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Colin Hanks celebrates his birthday today. He is the son of Tom Hanks. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He's in Mad Men now.
He is in Mad Men. He plays the priest in Mad Men. He's excellent in that. 31 years old. And Katherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy and Roswell.
Bell Nobel.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
she's hot.
Yeah. Okay.
She's super annoying, but she's hot. She's 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Psycho Mike, have you seen the name of the woman who just won the tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008?
No.
Maria Thrasher.
Come on. What?
Really?
Maria Thrasher.
How can she not be yours?
I want to marry her.
From Downey is our latest Twitter. The way it works is there's always a song to listen for. You can go to krock.com to always find out what it is, or there's details there on how you can have it texted to your phone so you don't even have to go to the website. You can be in your car and find out what the next song is to listen for. But we do have more tickets you can win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, time to speak with Harvey Levin. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa Mike.
Hi, Harvey.
How was your weekend, Harvey? Do anything fun?
It was okay. How was yours?
You work 24/7, don't you?
I had to work this weekend. I did.
Yeah.
How much of what we see posted at TMZ.com with the snarky comments underneath the photos is you in your underwear in your apartment, Harvey?
No, it's not. I mean, look, we have great people here. It's just, you know what? It's not even so much what's posted. It's there are always stories in play, like the Jimmy Connors thing this weekend. We really wanted to find out what happened, and you know, it doesn't get handed to you on the silver platter. I mean, it all takes work. So the writing of it is actually not the hardest part. The hardest part is just getting the info.
Is the good old-fashioned journalist part of it. Let's start with Michael Jackson, because I know we talked about that last week. It looked like he was heading off to court. For people who haven't maybe been following his latest legal trouble, what's he being sued for and what happened?
There was a prince of Bahrain, a king of Bahrain, his son, had apparently funded a CD that Michael was supposed to do for seven, and he paid him $7 million, and the CD never got made. Uh-huh. So there was a lawsuit out of London, and Jackson was supposed to get on a plane and go over there and testify during the trial. And this always happens where, you know, on the eve of his testimony, the case just suddenly settles for an undisclosed amount, which, you know, Michael Jackson does not want to get up on the stand, period.
Yeah, no kidding.
But Harvey, does he have any money?
Good luck collecting. I mean, he is so leveraged. My guess is that even the settlement, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where his money is coming from. Michael Jackson's been playing the shell game for years now. And, you know, everybody's been saying he's been broke for like six, 7 years. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people who have sued this guy because they haven't gotten paid. So I don't know what the terms of the settlement are, but I'm guessing that even if this guy would have gotten the $7 million, he would have never collected it.
Okay, so Michael Jackson doesn't have to pay to get the court to get it thrown out. When they settle,
well,
he could just say, I'll pay you later?
I don't know what the terms of the, you know, sometimes the terms of the settlement are, we won't drop the case unless we get X amount from you up front.
Right.
I mean, they can settle for whatever they want, and they're not saying what it is, but that certainly is something they can do, where they could say, look, you know, I think it's like when Nicole Brown Simpson told 911, I think we know his record. You know, and what they could do is say, look, we want the money up front before we drop it, or they could just trust him.
Harvey, what's the mental block that prevents him from doing the one thing that he knows would make him instant millions, and
Vegas.
That's tour? And that's
Vegas.
Tour, yeah, Vegas or anywhere, but why won't he do it?
Well, he can't tour. I mean, he's so fragile that, I mean, can you imagine how many concert dates he would bail on?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he could tour. Vegas makes sense because at least he's in one place, you know, and that's what I'm thinking, and I've been hearing all of these stories for 3 or 4 years now that Steve Wynn, who is a really good friend of his, you know, was trying to do something with him, and there was talk about doing something at the Hilton.
Right.
I honestly, in my bones, I believe that eventually Michael Jackson is going to be in Vegas, and he would be huge.
He'd be huge, and people would come from all over the world for as long as he wanted to do it to see it. He'd sell out every seat. You're right, and you're also right that all he would have to do is walk downstairs to work each night for a couple of hours. That would be it.
And there's something genetic about the Jacksons canceling concert dates.
So, yeah, Janet,
I mean,
too, right?
I just cannot imagine him touring.
Bean
makes sense.
When Bean says walk downstairs, he means take an elevator.
Yeah.
Because Michael.
Yeah, he can't do
exactly. All right. This is Harvey Levin on the line, of course, from TMZ.com and TMZ Television, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Let's talk about the weirdness in Hollywood over the weekend, this bizarre story that involves samurai swords in front of the Scientology Tower. What was that all about?
Well, I mean, we don't know yet. I mean, it is really, really weird. But apparently, this guy who had some connection, and it's unclear whether he was actually a Scientologist or whether he had just been there, but there was a guy who went to the Scientology building, and he shows up at around noon, and he approaches these guards and starts waving samurai swords at the guards. And it wasn't just kind of like, oh, look how much fun this is. I mean, they really believed they were in danger. So one of the guards shot this guy with a semi-automatic and killed him. And the police seem to be saying that they view it as self-defense. But it is a bizarre story. I mean, I think the real question here is what connection did this guy have to Scientology?
The real question is, where do you get samurai swords these days?
Well, it's Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, good point.
Every other guy has them.
Yeah.
What do they use down there at the Celebrity Center for security? Is it are they LAPD or is it a private security force?
These were private people, but they have plenty of security. I mean, they have lots and lots and lots of security. So, you know, there were three guards were out there. And
two of them were aliens. A lot of people don't know that. The aliens actually protect the Church of Scientology.
Right.
It is interesting.
Name
me another church that has armed guards out in front of it, by the way.
It's a good question.
Yeah, can't really.
Maybe the Vatican. Just the Vatican is the only one I could think of.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
Did you hear what happened with the Vatican and John Lennon?
Yes. Tell people about that. That's a surprise to me.
That's an interesting story. So the Vatican came out and said, we forgive John Lennon for the comment he made. And this is what's amazing. In 1966, John Lennon said, the Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ.
Right.
Apparently, there were a lot of Catholics who were just burning Beatles albums, and basically, you know, they were protesting for years and years and years, and the Vatican just thought it was heresy, and this was an ongoing feud. Well, the Vatican now officially says that they forgive John Lennon for what he said, and they basically said he was a young guy, it all happened real quick for him, so they're basically saying they understand. What's interesting is that they did it on the 40th anniversary of the White Album. So what the Vatican seems to be doing is honoring the White Album, which contains songs like Helter Skelter Revolution and Why Don't We Do It in the Road.
Right.
Which I'm sure the Pope has on his iPod.
Right.
How did they just get to that now? I mean, what their list of things to accomplish has to be long. How did that make it?
I'm only guessing they really liked the White Album because it was the 40th anniversary.
Come on.
The Vatican is famous for moving incredibly slowly. I mean, change does not come quickly to the Catholic Church, and that's one thing that people like about it is its consistency.
They looked at this as fast-tracking it.
Exactly.
It's so funny, and I've seen documentaries on that period of the Beatles where, you're right, they were literally burning Beatle records and protesting and the whole deal. But, I mean, he really wasn't trying to say that they were bigger than Jesus Christ. He was just saying how insanely popular they were. It was just an expression he used to talk about how crazy popular they were and how it was a surprise even to him, and that was it.
But now I got to ask you, because if you're right about that, if you're right in what you just said, what do you think about what Kanye West said last night at the American Music Awards, that he wants to, that he's going to be bigger than Elvis, that nobody's allowed to say it, but he said he's going to say it? What about that?
I think it's just Kanye saying, look, I want everyone in the world to love me and everyone in the world to buy my records. There's no reason why we can't continue to be superstars like there were back in the, you know, he made reference to Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and stuff like that. He says there's no reason why I can't be as big as those guys. I mean, he's just got a great deal of confidence in himself and a great deal of artistic reach. I don't think anyone's going to complain about that, Harvey. I don't think anyone will have a problem.
The Church of Elvis.
What's bolder? John Lennon saying we're bigger than Jesus Christ, or Kanye saying I'm going to be bigger than Elvis?
Oh, Lennon, absolutely.
They're both out there, though.
They're both out there.
All right, listen, I know you got to get to your meeting, Harvey, and make some great TV. Any hotties in the newsroom tonight that we should be watching for on the telecast?
Well, we do have a story, actually.
No, didn't ask stories. He asked about hotties in the newsroom.
Well, you know what? I got two other things quickly to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you hear about Megan Fox?
What?
What?
Yes.
I figured you'd like
How do you not lead with this?
I'm sorry. You were the one driving it.
I know.
It's been on the website all weekend.
All right.
So Megan Fox, apparently, this is according to the Post, had a couple of drinks and then started, like, revealing that her secret crush was...
Me.
Zac Efron.
Oh, yeah! No.
How dare you?
Megan Fox and I have something in common, it sounds like.
How dare you, Harvey?
So
I am not happy with you.
I'm just telling you. So then, the second thing I want to tell you, and this is it. So Aretha Franklin gave a concert in L.A. recently.
Fat. Ah! Sorry, go ahead.
Guess where she went before?
In and out.
Roscoe's Fried Chicken and Waffles.
So much better.
Oh, what?
Better than that?
Pink's Chili Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, all I'm going to say is we're doing a story tonight, and the premise of the story is that something really blew at the concert, and it was not her singing.
Oh, oh no. No. Really?
No, no. Yes.
Harvey.
Really?
I'm serious. I'm actually really serious.
I wish you hadn't mentioned that.
I wish I brought that up.
The fear. The
fear. That's a giant fear right there. Wow.
Wow. Thanks for nothing, Harvey Levin.
That's the best story ever, Harvey Levin.
Okay, guys, I'll see you later.
You rule. Thank you. Bye now. Another band that's going to be playing Sunday night is The Killers, and they've got a new CD out called Day and Age. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give you a little taste of it.
Great.
Out today, by the way. I know you're so used to things being available starting Tuesday, but because of the Thanksgiving weekend and because of getting a jump on the holiday season, there are three big albums coming out today. The Kanye West album is available today, the Ludacris album is available today, and the Killers album is out today, too. So make a Monday note to download it immediately.
Here is the here's a song called Joyride from the Killers. When your chips are down, when your highs are low. I'm sorry, that was ABBA. I apologize. I misspoke.
I was waiting for the part where it goes, it's a wild, wild life. I didn't hear that part.
Here's a song called I Can't Say. In the dark, for a while now, I can't stay. Very far, I can't stay. Much longer. Okay, stay maybe. Maybe it's say, maybe it's stay.
What's weird about the Killers, and I love them. They are one of my favorite of the current bands, is they are – you can say they're retro if you want, but to me, they're kind of timeless in that that song could have come out in 1978, yeah. 1988, 1998, or 2008, and it would fit in all of those times. And you can't say that about a lot of artists.
Here's another song called The World We Live In, listening to new clips from the Killers. I'll tell you, one of the cool things about having them on Acoustic Christmas is you can get the CD, get familiar with the songs, and a lot of new songs, and then they'll play some of them. And there's nothing better than being familiar with a band Absolutely. And their new stuff, but not too long, and then they can just play it, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning, because we are playing Human, and I'd like to ask a question, if you don't mind. You gotta let me go. Are we human? Or are we dancer? Okay. What does that mean?
Well, it's are we human or are we dancer? Come on, Kevin.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line up to the platform of surrender. I was brought, but I was kind. When I see an open door, close your eyes, clear your heart, cut the cord. Are we human or are we dancer?
Okay, that doesn't mean anything
I don't know
to me. I don't know.
Is he just being funny? I mean, do you think it makes sense to him? This is one of the age-old questions
for
lyricists. You know, when people write lyrics, does it mean – I know a lot of people don't want to talk about them and discuss what they mean. They want you to come up with – I can't come up with what this is.
Yeah, we're blank. So why don't you just tell us?
Time out.
And then there are a lot of people who get a magnifying glass and spend hours dissecting lyrics and believe that it holds the great truth of the world. And then you find out from the guy who wrote it, yeah, just words that sounded good together.
Yeah.
Really no meaning whatsoever. I don't know. I did a little research on this, too, because a lot of people have been asking that question about are we human or are we dancer? And some people even think – I think when we first had this discussion off the air, I think somebody in our room was suggesting that it has to be denser. Are we human or are we denser? Somebody would say.
Yeah.
Well, MTV News caught up with Brandon Flowers recently and asked him about that lyric in that song, and here's what he had to say. It's taken from a quote by author Hunter S. Thompson, which we had heard before. "We're raising a generation of dancers," was the quote. "I took it and I ran with it. I guess it bothers some people that it's not grammatically correct, but I think I'm allowed to do whatever I want."
Wow.
Denser? I hadn't heard that one. I don't like denser. So the answer is dancer, and he just did it because he could.
Denser? I don't even know her. So raising a generation of dancers is the Hunter S. Thompson quote. And then he put it, "Are we human or are we dancer?"
It almost sounds like another species.
"My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees."
Sounds like dancer to me.
I'm dancer. I mean, I can only speak for me.
Yeah.
I don't know about Bean. I'd say Bean is human.
Yeah.
But I'm pure dancer. That
I know. You could be dancer. I'm really more Rudolph.
Dear God.
Beast Boys had Ralph in the band, man. They'd have made something of themselves all those years ago.
I'm like a young Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, no, what?
Yeah, tragic news today.
Why? What do we start? What?
What? It's just horrible. The passing of a great.
Who died?
Uh-oh.
Betty James.
I don't know who that is.
Me neither.
You don't know Betty James?
No. Who is that?
Betty
Actress,
James.
Ralph?
No. Genius. Oh,
Bean doesn't know.
Inventor.
Genius. Inventor, okay.
Betty James invented the Slinky.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
You know, the child's toy, the Slinky?
Of course.
Sure.
Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
it's
I love
slinky.
The Slinky.
It's Slinky. It's fun for a girl and a boy. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
Oh, God, no, 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 no.
Betty first invented the Slinky in Philadelphia in 1945.
Okay.
So far, they've sold 300 million Slinkies.
Dude.
Passed away at the age of 90 this weekend.
300 million.
Guess her family's set for life,
no,
right?
No kidding.
Great thing about Betty is if you push her downstairs, though, she just walks down the stairs.
Not
just
a problem for her.
It's true. Yeah.
It is now, but it wasn't so much then.
I loved the Slinky. But yeah, you play with it like four times, and it would get stretched out or honked up or all twisted up on itself, and it's like,
yeah,
you got to go buy a new one.
Right.
Built-in obsolescence. Genius.
Didn't they come out with a bunch of variations on the Slinky?
Yeah.
Two different colors, and they made
the
some
Slinky
of them out
dog.
Of...
Remember the Slinky dog?
That's right, the Slinky dog,
It looked like a dachshund, but its middle was a Slinky, and it would walk, and then it would pull the front, and the back end would come and chase after it.
Sure.
Oh, it's the best. I'm going to do that to Reggie. I'm going to have his torso replaced with a Slinky. That'd be so cool.
It would be cool.
Let's talk about the weekend's hot movies at the box office, shall we? Number one at the box office, as expected, although I didn't expect this much. Twilight made $70.6 million this weekend.
Wow. We bet plus or minus $70 million, which was right on it.
Right on there.
Only
spot on.
Fell kind of on my side.
I thought the stars of the movie that we spoke with last week on the show were joking when I kept asking them about a sequel. They kept saying, well, we'll know Friday night. I guess we'll know whether we're going to make another one. I just thought it was a built-in franchise, right? But sure enough, the studio had a big press conference on Saturday morning announcing they're going to start work on the new one.
Yeah, they had purchased all four books, so I assumed that they were going to do it. Because this thing, I thought would make around 50, given the teenage mania of girls without real boyfriends just foaming at the mouth to go see it. So,
and 50 would have been huge, too.
Yeah, it would have been monstrous.
I was guessing only based on them going back two or three times the first weekend, which it seemed like a lot of them were going to do.
Your logic was correct, my friend. 7.6 mil.
Here's a clip from the movie. This is, they're at school, and the goth kid is talking to the vampire.
You kids need to all go put your freaking Banana Republic clothes back on right now.
Hey, we're just as dark as you guys, maybe darker.
Really? Do you guys even smoke? Of course not. Smoking's bad for you.
Yeah!
So that's part of that.
Wow, they are bad kids.
See?
Those vampires.
I mean it.
Quantum of Solace was number two at the box office, only $27.4 million in its second weekend, far behind Twilight. Then Bolt, in its debut, made about 27 mil, was good enough to make it number three. Madagascar 2, Role Models, Changeling, High School Musical 3, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and The Secret Life of Bees. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Hottest women alive.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, People Magazine does their sexiest man alive list every year.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So E! Online as a counterpoint, has done their list of the sexiest women alive.
That's even better.
It is, till you find out who they left off the list.
Uh-oh.
Let's take a look at number 10, Shakira, by the way, on the top 10.
Really?
Sexiest woman alive. She's pretty sexy, Psycho Mike.
She's certainly an attractive woman. I wouldn't have any problem banging her. She's not anywhere near the top 10 sexiest women on the planet.
Look, there's
not anywhere near.
There's physically attractive, there's beautiful to look at, and then there's sexy. I think those are separate categories. They often have crossover into a subset. But Shakira is sexy as hell, especially when she's performing. I think she's
she is.
And she's a midget.
Yeah, she's a spinner. That'd be fun.
That's the best part.
Manuela Arcuri.
Don't know who that is.
She's a model. She's hot.
Okay, okay, right. Then yes.
Penelope Cruz, number 8 on the list. Sexy, but not classically pretty. I think that's another example.
Yeah.
True.
Heidi Klum.
Sure.
Yeah.
Adriana Lima,
there
number 6.
Of course.
5, Scarlett Johansson.
Sure.
Number 4, Gisele Bündchen.
Sure.
Number 3, Angelina Jolie.
Sure.
Number 2, Bar Raffaelli.
There he is.
Oh.
Number 1... With a bullet in my pants, Karolina Krejcova.
Yes,
she's supermodel Karolina Krejcova.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
Notice any glaring omissions in the top 10?
Well, Megan Fox.
No Megan Fox.
Yeah.
No Megan effing Fox.
Yeah.
How do you make a list like that without her on there? You know what I think it is? She admitted she likes Zac Efron.
Yeah, that'll destroy you.
Took her right off the list.
Yeah.
Apparently she was drinking in New York, and she admitted that she is obsessed with Zac Efron.
Oh, God, no, 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 no.
She's dead to me now, as she is most people.
I love her even more than I did before, if that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, you love her.
Yeah, right.
Please.
You just want to get together and have a sleepover and brush each other's hair and talk about Zac. Today's celebrity birthdays, Katherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy in Roswell. She is 30 years old today. I wonder if the writers of Grey's Anatomy are going to pitch in and get her anything.
I'm guessing not.
Remember how she said this year?
They weren't giving her anything to
act. Didn't really give me the material to win an Emmy this year, so I won't be nominating myself.
I don't watch that show anymore, but I'd love to hear. Please let us know if they end up giving her psoriasis or something like really hideous and ugly and painful for
face
her
disease.
To go through.
It'd
be
face
so
disease.
Cool.
Be awesome. Colin Hanks from Roswell as well. Well.
Well, mm-hmm.
He is also on Mad Men, plays the priest on that show. He's excellent in that role. 31 years old today. And former Beatles drummer, the man who passed on the Beatles, Pete Best, 67 years old today. What must his life be like every day?
He wishes he was dead.
Morning, honey. How are you? Could have been a Beatle. How are you? Hi, folks. Good to see you. Could have been a Beatle. Thank you. Thanks for the paper. I'm going to go down the corner and get some cigarettes.
He quit.
Could have been a Beatle.
He didn't get fired, right? He quit.
There's different arguments. I'm getting emails already from rabid Beatle fans who say it's the contrary. But he didn't want to travel with them. They were going to Germany, to Hamburg, to perform over there, and he didn't want to go and stuff. So it was a falling out.
If he had any part of that, he's the biggest a-hole
exactly.
in history.
He didn't fight nearly hard. I don't care what happened. He didn't fight nearly hard enough to stay in that band.
This one seems worse because they ended up being the Beatles, but aren't there hundreds of people out there who were in bands that then got out and the band went on to do something? I mean,
I imagine.
You don't know at the time if the band's going to make it or not.
But
you got to make a living.
None of them were the Beatles.
None of them were the Beatles.
None
that
of them.
True.
None of the
Just
other stories
guy.
You're talking about. None of them left the Beatles. That's what I'm telling you.
That's true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's talk about people who lie to get out of real trouble. A woman is divorcing her husband after he told her that there was an iPhone glitch that sent pictures of his genitals to another woman.
Yay! Wow.
Wait, hold on a second, honey. Wait, hold on. You think that I sent those pictures of my penis to her? Come on.
Okay, one, why does he even have photos of his penis?
When I approached him about this, he admitted that he took the picture. And by the way, it's not a bored penis, if I could say it that way.
Right.
It seems to have been very happy with what's going on.
Okay.
When I approached him about this, he admitted he took the picture, but says that he never sent it to anyone. And through an iPhone glitch, it attached to an email and went to some woman. What was I supposed to do? I didn't do it. The iPhone did it.
Okay, first of all,
my wiener's going crazy and it won't stop.
Second of all, where is he trying to suggest that this random email address came from? Even if there was a glitch in his iPhone that would have put it in his mail, where did the address come from?
I don't know. He just said the photos sometimes automatically attach themselves to an email address and appear in the sent folder. though no email was ever sent. So he's just saying, look, what am I supposed to do? I didn't send it. It sent itself.
So let's go back to taking the picture.
Yeah.
He can't see it better with his own eyes. He needs to take a picture.
I don't know why that happened. I'm guessing, of course, that he meant to send it.
Of course.
So his wife, being a smart woman, took the phone and went down to an Apple store and walked up to the Genius Bar, which is a bar there where they will give you technical help.
Right.
And she told him the story, and the guy said, yeah, well, all right now. It wasn't the iPhone.
Nice try.
I think your marriage has a glitch, is what she was told, by the way, at the Apple store. Look, first of all, clearly the guy behind the counter at the Genius Bar could see what was going on. Why not help a brother out? Why not say to the woman, you know what? It's crazy, but that happens. I don't know how, but we're working on that. Thanks for calling it into the desk. We're going to work on it.
Hell of a glitch. Man, are we trying to fix that? Well, I don't think they want to take any credit for stuff that's not a problem.
I'm just saying they could have helped the brother out. It's so funny, though, because she was expected to believe, and clearly she didn't, which is why she backed up, that a photo that was just in his phone somehow was put into his email program and sent out to an email address.
Right.
And she didn't buy it.
Yeah, hard to believe she didn't buy that. Mm-hmm. But she went down and checked, and then she found out that it was not true, and he got busted. So we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. Stupid lies that you told to get out of trouble. And it's funnier if you got caught. I mean, really, let's be honest. That wouldn't have been a funny story had he gotten away with it.
Of course not. You're
but
right.
The fact that she tracked it down to the Genius Bar and they told him, you know, told her that he was lying makes it funny.
I guess when your back's against the wall, you just come up with anything you can at the moment. And sometimes it's not the most believable story in the world. And that's what we're looking for.
I was waiting for a date once
who
we'd been dating for a while. And so the fact that he never showed up and never called was super scary. I started calling hospitals.
Right.
I figured something had happened to him. So the next morning he calls me and says he had been in jail overnight and it was all a big mistake and they let him out in the morning. Well, it just didn't sound
mistaken
right.
Identity or something?
So I don't actually remember exactly what his story was. I started calling jails to check up and no one had a record of him. So
right?
I called him and he's at work by this point and said, "You're lying." I called all these jails and he said, "Don't call me at work with the stuff I'm working." He turns out he'd been up all night doing drugs.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Lisa, what's with you calling hospitals if he's 15 minutes late, then calling jails to check up on his story?
6 hours late and not calling. I mean,
yeah,
it
but
just
what I'm
like
saying
him.
Is, I'm saying the guy dodged a bullet by getting away from you, baby. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying
worried.
That you're the trouble in that relationship.
She was worried, Bean.
I was worried.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067 if you lied to try and get out of trouble. It's funnier to us if you got busted for it, especially if it's something that's easily traceable, like this iPhone story, and like your guy.
Yeah, you can call.
You can actually call and check on it.
Right.
So we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Taking your calls on the biggest lie you ever made up to get out of trouble. 1-800-520-1067. Funnier to us if you didn't get away with it, and funnier to us the more outrageous the lie was. Let's try Jay in Fullerton. He's on line one. Hey, Jay, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Good.
What was the lie?
Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
Yeah, so this was a while ago. I was living with my girlfriend at the time in our own apartment, and she decides to leave for a couple days. So I was feeling lonely, and I decided to post an ad on the personals on Craigslist.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You are an impatient man.
Wait, you weren't just feeling lonely. You had to have already been moving on, weren't you? Don't lie to us, dude. We can tell.
Well, okay, I guess. But long story short, of course, nobody responds because I don't know who responds to those things. But she comes home, and I get home from work the day after she gets back, and she has this weird look on her face. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, well, I was checking your email, and I saw that you posted something.
Yeah.
So, of course, I freak out, and I basically blame an ex-girlfriend for hacking into my account and trying to get me in trouble.
I can't believe your ex-girlfriend would do that.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know. That ex-girlfriend.
Did she buy it?
I think so, because we were together for another year and a half after that, so.
Lucky girl.
Yeah, she scored.
I know. Well, I'm a catch.
Lisa May would have seen right through your lie, man. She would have sourced you in minute one.
Yep, I would have called that girlfriend.
Thanks for the call. Hold on. We'll give you a T-shirt. Hey, Mike, find my my list of shirts till it hurts because we got to give these people some T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. Let's try Ben in L.A. He's on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ben. Welcome. What's up?
Hey. How you doing?
Hi there.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Total lie?
Yeah. Musician. Coming back from Europe, we spent a lot of time in Iceland, and came back with chlamydia, as everybody did in the band. And
I'm sorry, chlamydia?
Yeah.
Okay.
And everybody else is like from France and different parts. They'd go back to their own city, get back to the city for about 5 days. I'm from L.A., so I fly into L.A. I give it to my girlfriend and tell her I got it from the toilet seat. And so I had to talk her into believing I got it from a toilet seat, and it worked until she went to the doctor and told the doctor.
Oh, and then the doctor said it doesn't get transmitted not so much that way.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen very often like that.
But wait a minute. It doesn't happen often or it can't?
Because I think
I'm
the only case.
Yeah, all right.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call. By the way, I'm listening to a little bit of Loveline last night, and Dr. Drew was talking about, I'm not kidding about this, about sexually transmitted diseases that you can get from using a washing machine that somebody, like if you're at a public a laundromat and somebody has washed clothes with some sort of bacteria on it from an STD, that it can then get onto your stuff.
Isn't the soap supposed to kill it?
That's what Dr. Drew said last night, that it happens. I know. It's crazy.
Hold on. We're going to give you a Chris Angel T-shirt. And the guy before you gets the Sex in the City shirt. So
nice.
Congratulations. All right. Let's go to Maribel. Good morning, Maribel.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was actually driving on the 605 car plane, and a cop pulled me over. He told me, do you know why I'm pulling you over? And I was like, yeah, I'm in the car plane. He's like, I'm going to write you up a ticket. I told him, you know what? Hurry up and do it. I need to go home and get my son's oxygen tank. He needs it. I didn't have my son's. In the car, he asked me if I wanted an ambulance. I told him no. I just needed to go get it, and he let me go.
Wow.
Did you even have a son?
Wow.
Yeah, I have a three-year-old son.
And does he need oxygen, or did you make the whole thing up?
No, he needs it to go to sleep.
He needs it.
Breathing,
he needs it, but he just didn't need it right then?
Right.
Nicely done.
And it worked. How about that?
Yeah, it did. He even offered an ambulance.
Wow, you should have taken him up on it.
She's like, no, it's
like,
fine.
Oh, God. I was like, I hope he doesn't call because then we're going to have to go on the freeway and the ambulance. And it was just nuts.
That's the best. All right, you hold on. We're going to give you the WACA Kickball, World Adult Kickball Association T-shirt.
That's cool.
Fantastic. All right, line seven is fantastic. Let's talk to Chris from Los Angeles on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Chris, biggest lie you ever told?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, basically, I was having sex with this girl seen on the side. Mm-hmm. And my phone went off on my phone and in my pocket. And I went home later on that day, and basically she asked me if I was watching porn. And I wasn't. But, of course, I told her I was, and that's pretty much how it went down.
Wait, so your phone picked up, you mean, and she could hear you guys, and that's why she thought you were watching porn?
Yeah, this girl was pretty loud, so...
Yeah, you didn't tell that part of the story very well at all. That didn't make any sense the way you told it.
But it was pretty funny. I actually told my buddies about it.
And, yeah, no, that's what you want to do. That's the way to get away with a lie is to tell all your buddies.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, you have to give Chris some credit, though, for thinking on his feet, though. She says, hey, your phone picked up, and I heard all this noise going on. It sounded like people having sex. And Chris, at the moment, I mean, I'm sure he was scared, you know, crazy, thinking he got busted. And he came up with, oh, I was just watching some porn. That was pretty smooth.
I got to agree.
Yeah, nicely done. Chris, you get green eggs and ham, tie-dye, blue and pink shirt from Bean. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
People are hanging up as if they don't want these T-shirts, by
what?
The way. I mean, I know.
I see how many times you try to give away that Chris Angel shirt. I'll tell you that.
All right. Let's go to Tony, who's calling from Riverside. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Thanks. What lie did you tell?
I told them I was house-sitting my parents' house, and I told them that I had a sore foot, so I had to go in the bathtub. And I slipped in the bathtub and caused water to fall over and go on the ceiling below.
And what really happened? It flooded?
Yeah, it did. I was playing snorkeling with my girlfriend in the bathtub.
Playing snorkeling, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was good.
Nicely done. And you got away with it?
They questioned it, but I stuck to my story.
Can we call them?
That's why I'm Tony.
Exactly.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks for calling.
How about Eli Manning, by the way? How about the freaking New York Giants being 10-1 and returning yesterday to the scene of their Super Bowl victory and beating your Arizona Cardinals? Yeah. Kevin, what about that?
Yeah, that happened. Let's say good morning to Eli. Hi, Eli.
Hi.
I believe there's a picture of you.
Hi.
Eli's a mouth breather. There's a picture.
Hi.
Yeah, there's a picture of him on the Kevin and Bean page.
Say
at the,
hi to me.
Hi.
Hi, Eli.
Hi.
Sorry, Eli. We were talking to the listeners for a second.
Well, why did you say to me hi?
Well, sorry. I apologize. I was rude.
Yes.
Eli, it's
rude.
Right. Sorry.
We apologize.
Be punished.
All right.
We don't mean to hurt your feelings,
no
Eli.
No pudding for you.
No pudding. Okay. Eli, what an unbelievable season you guys are having. I mean, no
Yay!
Slump at all after winning the Super Bowl. Another amazing game yesterday. 26 of 33, 240 yards, no interceptions. 10-1, the best record in the NFL. How do you feel?
We won the Super Bowl again.
Nope.
Yay!
No, you didn't win the Super Bowl.
But it was the same place where I won it last time.
It was in Arizona. That's where the Super Bowl was last
yes,
year.
Yes, I won.
But this wasn't the Super Bowl.
MVP.
Nope.
MVP.
No.
MVP.
Maybe for the game. Here's the end of that.
And the Giants beat the Cardinals 37-29. Eli with three TDs. The Giants are 10-1, Tom.
Come on.
We're 10. I'm 10.
You're number 10.
So I should just win the Super Bowl then, because I match my number.
No, you have 10 wins and one loss is what that
but
means.
But I'm 10.
You're number 10, yes, Eli.
Yes. 10-10.
Yes.
10-1.
100.
10-1.
10-1.
Is 11.
By the way, what about the Tennessee Titans finally losing a game yesterday, Eli? Now you guys are tied for the best record in the NFL. There's no more undefeated teams.
They're the same as us now.
10-1.
10-1. That's right, yes.
They lost.
That's right.
To the Jets, Brett Favre.
That's true.
That's
Brett Favre
right.
did well.
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
old.
He is old, but playing
He's
well.
He's like 100.
He is very old, yes.
Ah, gray hair in his head. But I'm not
you
old.
You're not old. That's correct.
They beat them 34-13.
That's pretty bad, right?
That's a lot.
What about the Raiders? Did you see that? The Raiders won.
I can't believe it.
What are the chances of that? They beat the Broncos.
I can't believe the Lions almost won. They're 0-11 now.
Yeah, they got beat.
Zero at everything,
they
yeah.
They had 17 points ahead of the Tampa Bay guys.
In the first quarter, yes.
Then they lost.
And then they lost 38-20.
That's what they did.
Yeah. That is kind of funny, actually.
They suck.
Speaking of funny.
They can't do it.
How about the Eagles?
That, he's five.
What about that?
They have five wins and he's five.
Donovan McNabb?
Yes.
He's number five, right?
I'm twice as good as him.
Because you're number 10?
Yes.
Here's the call for the end of that game.
And the Ravens just embarrassed the Eagles. 36-7.
36-7.
Their careers are over.
Yeah. You have to hate the Eagles because they're in your division, right, Eli?
No. It's like hating a kitten. Why
not,
would you hate something that don't bother you?
They're not good enough to be hated?
No, yeah. we're so much better than them.
You are a lot better, that's
so
true.
So we don't even look at them and go, ooh.
Eli, what do you do the day after a game? I don't think I've ever asked you. Like, today, do you get a day off to just kind of recover a little bit?
Sometimes I shower.
Sometimes?
Well, yes, I hope, yeah.
Because it's a lot of work.
You probably should every time you play a game.
I don't want to every time.
No, but you should, I'm
but
saying.
But I want to.
Right.
I don't like it.
Your brother beat the Chargers 23-20.
The last second, Adam Vinatieri.
Field goal, yes.
That's right, he sure did.
He kicks. What a gay guy.
Because he's a kicker?
Yeah. They're gay.
Is that right?
Kickers are gay. They don't even ever get their uniforms dirty.
They aren't the most manly of football players.
No, but he won the game 51 yards.
Yeah, it's pretty
that
strong.
That was very impressive, yeah.
51-yard kick.
Yep.
That's not very gay, is it?
I can't even ride a bike 51 yards without falling over.
You can't?
No.
Well, that's why you wear a helmet.
Eli may be the only quarterback in the NFL who wears a helmet 24/7.
That's true. That
but
is true.
By a regular helmet, sleeker.
Eli, I was watching the game yesterday, and I saw a commercial that you did.
Yeah.
For a watch. Do you mind if I play a little audio from that?
No.
All right.
Unstoppable. Eli Manning is. So is his Citizen Echo Drive watch. Fueled by light, it never needs a battery. It's unstoppable, just like the people who wear it.
That's right, I'm unstoppable.
Unstoppable, Eli Manning.
I am unstoppable until I tried to show it and ran into a wall. And then it stopped me.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm stoppable.
Yeah, I don't think it means it literally.
But not the Citizen watch is unstoppable.
That's right.
And I would think I would have a nicer watch after winning a Super Bowl. But I wear a Citizen.
That doesn't seem like the...
Because I'm retarded.
Yeah, well, maybe it's a safer watch.
They pay you a lot of money to promote their watch.
But
I think that's what it's all about.
Crappy watch.
Well, don't say that, Eli. That's
going to have a Rolex.
Right, but they're going to cancel your advertising contract
if
you say that.
Or even
a Boulevard. Oh, no, you shouldn't talk like that, Eli.
Or a Tag Heuer.
Yeah, Tag Heuer. I don't think those are unstoppable, though. Only yours is.
Well, I need a better agent.
Yes, you do.
Maybe you do.
All right, Eli. Thanks.
I'm number one. I'm number one.
Well, I don't think it's over yet, but you're looking pretty good.
Oh, when will it be over?
So good. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. Well, we were having a good conversation. I didn't realize the song
was in.
What
the hell's going on down there?
Sometimes the song just runs out. I don't know.
Nothing you can do about that. Nope. All right. 7:53. It's Monday morning. You want to win tickets to the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008? Of course you do. Go to K-Rock.com to find out what song to listen
Couldn't
for.
Couldn't be less interested.
Here's a hint. It's coming up very, very soon. Why, Ralph? It's going to be a great lineup both nights this year. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Nah.
Okay.
I'm not
right.
He's just being contrary
to
the country.
Jingle Ball.
Are you?
Yeah.
Menudo?
Oh, love me some Menudo.
Yeah. Hotter than ever.
With a hangover?
Hotter than ever.
That stuff really cures it, man.
You gotta not get that kind of Menudo.
Yeah, we're talking about the band.
It's all about the
band
broth, really. I don't know what they put in the broth, but it's just
we're talking about
so
the band.
What?
Yeah. Not the food.
7:54, time for the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Twilight. Wow. Wow. Sad little goth girls sure love their vampires. $70.6 million worth. It's pretty good for
That's
Twilight.
That's big box office right there.
Pretty good for some vampires and whatnot.
No, one headline I saw this weekend. No sex, no violence, no stars. And you still get this kind of box office. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Dude, one guy pushes another guy across a floor. I saw it in the trailer.
Did you?
There's some violence.
There is some
violence. Tears up that parquet floor.
There is some violence. Here's a clip from Twilight.
You know, you guys are really giving off a negative human energy. We prefer to take our darkness somewhere else, per se. All right, Count Fagula, you go do that.
I didn't realize it was that funny, but apparently it is.
Yeah. How pissed off is Joss Whedon right now? It's like, I did that with Buffy like 100 years ago. Where's my $70 million?
That was a lot, yeah.
Angel's a vampire, Buffy fell in. Come on! Just furious. Quantum of Solace was number two at the box office, $27.4 million. Then Bolt, Madagascar, two. Role Models, Changeling, High School Musical, three. Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and Secret Life of Bees. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend, thanks to Daily Variety for those numbers. Amy Winehouse.
Uh-oh.
He's in a little trouble.
Really? What a surprise.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Apparently, she's upset because a British court rejected an appeal by her husband against his sentence for assault and obstructing justice. He was sentenced in July to 27 months in prison for beating up a pub manager, then offering him a bribe to keep quiet about it. And he had spent 9 months in jail awaiting trial. He was released early this month, a condition he lived at a rehab center. And they appealed the charge, but apparently did not get it overturned. So she's sad. Although apparently she finally, begrudgingly, has written a check for his rehab treatment.
Oh, you said maybe a week or two ago she wouldn't pay for it.
She didn't want to do it. She was no, I'm not going to pay. But apparently she wrote a check for $45,000 for his rehab. So I guess she's doing what she can. Like she wrote a check. Like she knows what a check looks like. But she could spell check. Somebody wrote it for her, but apparently he's going to be financed for his rehab, so best of luck.
At least she's got her health, though. That's the only thing
she does look at.
She is looking good.
Speaking of music, did anybody manage to slog through the American Music Awards last night?
Only me.
I watched it.
Man, I couldn't do it. I watched
I'll tell you
night.
Something about the AMAs, and I understand your criticism of it.
AMAs is the people's choice of music. That's why I look at those awards.
I will tell you that when Daughtry beat out Coldplay and the Eagles for Best Group, I realized there was a problem.
The Eagles were nominated for an award?
They were. They've been. They've sold millions of records. Millions of records the last year. I mean, I will tell you though, the one thing about it is wall to wall performances. They don't waste a lot of time with like talking and skits and stuff like that. It is just music, music, music. A lot of the music is stuff you don't care to see. But there were some gems. I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, me too, Bean. I wouldn't want to miss that New Kids on the Block medley.
Was that a gem? Maybe,
would you call that, wasn't that one of your gems?
Would you call that a gem?
Wall-to-wall performances?
That was awful. There were some awful performances. There were some terrible bands, but there were enough good ones that it made it worthwhile.
What was a gem?
I will tell you that the highlight of the night was 53-year-old Annie Lennox coming out and playing a solo song on the piano. Just brought the house down. It was the only standing ovation of the night. She was fantastic.
There you go. That's what the show was.
I watched for like 8 minutes. That show seems to be wall-to-wall poontang, though. I will say that. I mean,
there were a lot of hotties.
Like hot chicks everywhere?
I watched a very short amount of time, and I saw so many hot chicks wearing hardly anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's strong. The case of most music award shows, I think. I mean, even the MTV shows have that, but it's got to have more than that for me to get through it. Big winners last night. Chris Brown, Artist of the Year. He won a big award. Pop Rock. He also won Best Male Artist for the Pop Rock Division. Rihanna
gave away
won for
Pop
Best
Rocks?
No, Gilligan.
That's awesome.
Rihanna won for Best Female Artist in the Pop Rock category. Soul and R&B, Chris Brown won for that as well, as did Rihanna.
Wow.
Let's see. Best Hip Hop Artist, Male Artist, Kanye West finally won an award. How about that?
Wow.
Finally won himself an award.
First ever AMA award that he won last night.
He couldn't have been happier. Here's his speech.
They say in any other industry, you know, you're supposed to do better than the past. You know, like, computers should get smaller and faster. But whenever you say, I want to be Elvis, they say, what's wrong with you? But I want to be Elvis.
He turned and walked away.
Okay. You want to be Elvis.
Now?
Turns out there wasn't Elvis. Why don't you just be Kanye? The best alternative rock band, Linkin Park. Here we go.
Hey, one of our bands. Us.
Hey,
they
how about
won something.
That?
The only really loser last night was the American viewing public.
Bean saw some gems, Ralph.
I know he saw gems. He sees gems in a lot of things.
I'm saying there were some performances that were worthwhile. Coldplay, for instance, was good.
The Chinese are upset with Guns N' Roses.
Hey!
They're upset.
Newspaper published by China's ruling Communist Party is blasting the new Guns N' Roses album, Chinese Democracy, as an attack on the Chinese nation.
Yes.
I love how they're jumping to some major conclusions. Apparently, the article headlined, the headline read of the article, American band releases album venomously attacking China.
I know it's called Chinese Democracy, but are any of the lyrics on the record about China or democracy?
I don't know. But the Chinese newspaper said that it's a plot for some in the West to grasp control of China.
Yes.
By using the word democracy as a pawn. Yeah, you know, that evil democracy. Yeah. And that creeps into your neighborhood.
And
you're
we in the West are putting all of our marbles in the Axl Rose basket.
Yes.
Because that guy is a political pundit.
Geez, diplomacy hasn't worked. we're not ready to go to war. Unleash Axl Rose. Secret Agent 0000.
In a CD that they named 20 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny. So, Chinese are worried.
Well,
listen, China, you own us. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
You own America. We owe you more money than we could ever possibly pay.
I don't know
if
you've checked your bank statement lately.
You're fine. You're safe.
You're doing good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Pete Best, who was the former drummer of the Beatles before they became the Beatles. He is 67 years old today and bitter. Colin Hanks from Roswell and from Mad Men. He's 31, also from Roswell. And Grey's Anatomy, Katherine Heigl celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, it is the most wonderful time of the year, not just because of Miss Double December, because it means Christmas is right around the corner and there must be new gadgets in the stores. We are, like all guys, obsessed with gifts and gadgets, and Jim Berry is our friend from the Consumer Electronics Association. He is on the phone right now to tell us what's new for Christmas 2008. Good morning, Jim. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Jim, where did you get this survey from top 10 items people want for Christmas?
Well, this is the Consumer Electronics Association. They do this is the 15th annual wish list. It's actually a survey of about 2,000 consumers. They did actually.
Good talking to you. What?
Hello? We lost you for a second. You there, Jim?
Oh, I'm still here. Somebody's trying to call in, I think, and I didn't get my the explosive device to keep them out of the world headquarters of the digital answer man here, but I think we'll get rid of them. So it's the 15th annual. The survey was done right in the middle of this economic crisis that we're having. So it was interesting that we found that people said they were probably going to spend a couple hundred dollars less this year than they did last year total on the holidays. That's for gifts and decorations and food and
right.
entertaining and stuff. But they might spend a little bit more on electronics because, electronics is a wide variety of price categories. The stuff keeps getting cheaper, and there's a lot of cool stuff out there.
Is it true that computers came in second behind peace and happiness?
That's on the overall wish list. Yes. What do you want? Well, I'd like peace and happiness, and oh, by the way, I want to get online to make sure I know what's going on with that.
Sure.
Now, Jim, this time of year, of course, all the companies, they know how much money stands to be made in the next few weeks, and you start to see the new video games that are coming out right now just in time for the holidays, the new records, the new DVDs. Is it the same thing with electronics? Do they time it so that big stuff, new stuff, hot stuff is hitting the stores October, November?
Well, yeah, pretty much after Labor Day. You know, there really are seasons to this, just like, you know, the automobile industry, new models and stuff that usually come in the fall. So all that stuff is seeded in the market. And then we, of course, have Black Friday coming up, next Monday, what they are now calling Cyber Monday, where a lot of people buy online. Although that's less so now than it was a few years ago. Cyber Monday really started when people had the high-speed connections at work but not at home. So they were buying from, killing time at work and doing some Christmas shopping. But I think what we're going to see this year is unbelievable prices on flat panel TVs because, you know, and again, one of my friends said, well, you know, you work for the association and stuff. That's true, but I've never seen prices this low on plasma and LCD TVs. I mean, and not only the Black Friday prices that I think we'll see some really unbelievable ones, but just in general because there's an oversupply and there's a lot of people selling them.
Why does Friday have to be black?
Well, they say black because you're supposed to put them in the black.
Oh, I see. Okay.
For the year.
I got it.
Hey, Jim, here's a question. I don't know if you have this information at your fingertips, but how many people still have the old-style TVs? They have not yet buckled down and bought a flat screen.
Well, there's a lot of people who still have the old picture tube sets, although now we're buying – last year was the first year that we bought more of the flat panels than the picture tube sets. And in the smaller – very inexpensive sizes, you still see some of the picture tube sets. And you can get a digital TV, for instance, now for $150 or less, a 20-inch digital, not high definition. Of course, with a 20-inch TV, you don't really need high definition. That's really the advantage is in the bigger screen sizes. But if you're also asking how many people watch TV with an antenna as opposed to cable or satellite, that's about 10% of households across the country who still use rabbit ears or an antenna on the roof. They're the ones who, if they don't have a digital TV, and as I said, you can buy one now for $150, and there's a lot of every TV is digital. It's required to be by our friends at the Federal Communications Commission. So if you don't have a digital TV, you can get one of those converter boxes that you hook up to the antenna and then to your 91 Trinitron, or you're at a woman who won a contest we just had who had a 73 Zenith chroma color TV
She
still is using, and she won the Rabbit Ears Pioneers Award, which was that she took a picture and wrote an essay about it. She won a big screen flat panel and home theater system. Cool.
That's funny. Besides the big screen TVs that you say look for some deep, deep discounts this year, what else is new in the world of electronics for Christmas 08?
Well, here's something that's not new, but this is the first year you don't have to decide which format to pick, and that's the Blu-ray high-definition digital video disc.
Sure.
Last year, and you're going to see, you know, this is one last year we had two different formats. What should I buy? Well, don't worry about it. If you want an HD, a high-definition digital video disc, Blu-ray is the one. Last year they would have cost you $400 or $500. There's something else that this year they're starting at about $250, and I would say you're going to see some of these players in some of these Black Friday and other promotions that will be under $200. So, again, they'll play your old DVDs, so if you have a collection, they'll play, and then you get the new high-definition version.
What's the biggest-selling electronic? Is it still iPod?
Well, the MP3 players, yes, will probably buy about the biggest one really is mobile phones. We'll buy, I don't know what the number is, but it's millions and millions and millions more than anything else. And actually, if you run down the list, notebook computers, as I said, was number one. This is the wish list. TVs, two, mobile phones, MP3 players and then video games rounds out the top five. So in mobile phone, in MP3 players, you're right. People call them all iPods. They still have 75% of the market, but you have lots of new ones, both the Zune from Microsoft, the Digital Walkman from Sony, the Fuse, which is pretty cool, from SanDisk, the Sansa, and some of these start as little as $50 or so. So you got a lot of choices there if you're not married to iPod and iTunes.
This is our friend Jim Berry on the line from the Consumer Electronics Association talking about the holiday gifts. Hey, I'm starting to hear a lot this week about the BlackBerry Storm. Is that a pretty cool new phone, Jim?
It's very cool. And that one is, if I'm not mistaken, is at Verizon, and it's got a touch screen. You know, BlackBerry and iPhone and Nokia, all the different versions of Nokia, probably the three top sellers of all phones. And for business folks, it's really been more BlackBerry than iPhone, although the new iPhone has more business applications. But the touchscreen is what a lot of people like, there are lots of new ones there. You know, the phones, as I said, they're number three on the list. The other really cool new one is this, this brand new from T-Mobile, is the G1,
the Google phone,
operating
yeah.
system, which, you know, gets you basically into that whole world of Google searching and finding things. And people, a guy was telling me about taking it into a store and just using the barcode capability to check prices and compare them and that kind of stuff. So that's brand new. It's about $180, only from T-Mobile.
Can you see through people's clothes with that G1?
You know, I don't think that's not an application yet, but
well,
you know, they're always looking for new applications, so maybe that's what they call a marketing opportunity.
That's what I'm talking about. There is going to come a time in the not-too-distant future where we're going to have something, you know, in our pocket the size of a phone that is going to be able to do everything in the world.
There's
not going to be anything you can think of. It's going to work as a phone. It's going to be a TV. It's going to be the internet. It's going to be a garage door opener. It's going to be a microwave. It's crazy.
We had this discussion the other day. Look at this list. Notebook, computer, TV, mobile phone, MP3, video game, DVD, digital camera, GPS, camcorder, and digital video recorder. That's the 10 items on the wish list.
Right.
We said, you can get just about all of that in one handheld device when you think about it. It really is remarkable. And that's this digital technology, and the prices keep getting lower. That's all good.
Well, it's a wonderful time if you love technology to be alive here in the 21st century. And I guess your advice, Jim, would be to just start paying attention to those ads that come in your Sunday paper, because they're going to be cutting deep, deep, deep discounts this year with the economy the way it's going. So if you shop around, you got a chance at really making a killing, right?
Yeah, you'll get a terrific deal. A good place to start might be digitaltips.org. It's a website of the Consumer Electronics Association, digitaltips.org. This is a place, if you're thinking of buying some of this stuff and you don't know anything about it, what the heck's a pixel anyway? It has separate sections on MP3 players, digital cameras, digital televisions, HDTV. So you get a little basic info before you go in the store. And then go on the company website.
Well, what's the first website again? I'm sorry.
Digital.
No. Good information, Kevin. Let him get it out. Let him say it again, Kevin. Let him say it again.
Sorry, go ahead.
DigitalTips.org. Very funny, Jim. Always great to catch up with you. The good news on the electronics. Jim Berry, spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Association. I hope we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a great Thanksgiving and a great holiday.
You too. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Matt Singer from Woodland Hills. Got tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. That, of course, is December 14th, Gibson Amphitheater, and The Cure is playing that night.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're listening for that song. The Killers will also be on the bill. Death Cab for Cutie, Paramore, Franz Ferdinand, Scott Weiland, Snow Patrol, Vampire Weekend.
Is Scott Weiland really going to be there that night?
He is, yes. As well,
I was told he was really going to be here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And he will be. I have confidence.
Oh, he will?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you have information that I don't then, because I just know I don't see him. That's all I know. It's 8:27 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if you want to win your tickets, you can just go to KROQ.com and find out what song to listen for. There's always one. It gives you the exact title, artist, and time it will play, so it makes it pretty easy for you. Let's dip into the email bag. I think you go first this time.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I love having you guys on from 5 to 6 p.m. It was a great idea. Two questions. First, have you noticed that Bean is turning into Doc?
Oh, that's been happening for a long time.
First answer, yes.
Yeah.
We do know that. He's starting to make a big deal out of completely irrelevant stuff. I love Bean, but I just happen to notice his behavior is getting more frequent. Today, he was backing the Slumdog Millionaire movie. Second, can you please kill lightning? Even the limited exposure via the AIS commercials is too much. Longtime listener, Naomi.
All right.
By the way, critics all over America are raving about the Slumdog Millionaire movie. It's shaping up to be, for the amount of theaters it's in, a really big hit because it's apparently a great movie. I was just trying to tip off people to something that was not being, they're being beat over the head with it, with advertising, that it might be worth checking out. That's all.
Is he still talking about that movie?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Just checking.
And that's just what happened the other day.
Just checking.
About half of my email these days is on one topic, and that one topic, it will not surprise you, is Hot Cheetos.
When I eat Hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love Hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Sometimes it's as simple as Carolina's email that says, Dear Bean, after listening to your Hot Cheetos story, I couldn't remember when the last time was I had Hot Cheetos, so I went to the store and bought some Hot Cheetos. But then I didn't realize until I got home that I bought the regular Cheetos instead. I was so upset, now I have to go back to the store and buy Hot Cheetos. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I even get the Twitter-like moment by moment. Then I get great suggestions for how to enjoy your Hot Cheetos. This one says, Dear Kevin and Frijole, I was listening to some of your show about Hot Cheetos the other day. I wanted to let you know that at the birthday party for my kids and my wife's family, they gave the Hot Cheetos away in gift bags for the kids. They put them in the pinatas, too. About 15 minutes into the party, you got a bunch of kids running around making that, holy S, my mouth is on fire sound. By the way, here's a great drunk or stoned Hot Cheeto recipe. Mix the Hot Cheetos with Tapatio, lime juice, and salt. What a tasty treat. Don't forget to wash it down with a cold beer. So we got that suggestion.
There you go.
All right.
And then I got somebody who's coming down. I mean, I don't even know if I want to deal with this, but Sack writes in, Hey, guys, I feel World War III coming on. You guys have got to try the hot and spicy Cheez-Its. They're the best, and they're far superior to the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Oh, how dare they?
Superior.
Nope. They sell them at Vons, Pavilions, and Albertsons. They really are the best. The benefit is that they're spicy, but they don't burn or linger. Most importantly, they don't cause the Montezuma's revenge like the runs. You have to actually taste the cracker as opposed to just having a burnt mouth. Give it a try, guys. I know you won't go back. I just love hot Cheez-Its. I love them so much.
Oh, don't even try.
So I don't know what's going on with there, but that guy's stepping out of line as far as I'm concerned.
Do the little kids love hot Cheez-Its? I don't think so.
Well, let me listen again and see if they say that.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Nope, sounds like it's hot Cheetos to me.
Dear Kevin and Bean, at least one of my sphincters released when I opened krock.com to a sick stare from a pair of eyes that looked like they're driving around a kiddie park in a panel van. I don't know why Lightning did this, but for some reason there was a close-up of Bean's eyes, and then there was a close-up of my eyes.
Yep.
And they scared me, for God's sakes. I don't know what the plan was. How about ask a criminal psychologist and have Bean analyzed? Someone should do a geological survey around his house to look for shallow graves. Freaking Silence of the Lambs, man. G in Seal Beach.
Come on.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
I wish Ralph were in studio because he may actually be the only person who can answer this question. But Leo writes in with a huge decision to make, and he needs the help on the Kevin and Bean Show. And unfortunately, I think Ralph's the only guy who can answer. Guys, I want to buy one of the two following items, but I can't decide which one. Do I get the Snuggie or do I get the Slanket? Which way do I go? Now, I guess apparently these are both blankets that you can buy, like if you're sitting in your house and it's chilly in your house or something like that. They're blankets that have sleeves, so you can actually use your hands.
I have
so
to tell dumb. You something. Someone just bought me the Snuggie. It's pretty awesome.
But the commercial says, ordinary blankets can slip. What are you doing blanket is slipping?
No, because if you want to use your hands, you have to drop the blanket down. So you
what are you at, the North Pole?
Yes, and then your shoulders are uncovered. But with the Snuggle, your shoulders are still covered and you can use your hands.
Leo goes on to say, the Snuggie does have the two-for-one deal and the reading light included, but I think the Slanket on their commercial looks larger and softer. I really respect your opinion. I will wait for your response with great eagerness, Leo. So I'm going to hand that one over to Ralph since he's in charge of all things as seen on TV, and he can help you make that difficult decision.
I'm going to suggest killing yourself. That's what I'm going to suggest. Go ahead and just take your own life. Because
have you tried either the Snuggie or the Slanket, Kevin?
I have not. No.
I've never tried the Slanket.
You know why? Blanket. Blanket with arms.
You want to keep warm when you're feeling chilled, but you don't want to raise your heating bill.
No.
Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide.
Slip and slide.
And when you need to reach for something, your hands are trapped inside.
Oh, I hate that.
Now, there's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves.
Oh.
The Snuggie keeps you totally warm and gives you the freedom to use your hands. So now, you can work the remote or read a book in total warmth and comfort. Use your laptop without being cold.
That's great.
Or enjoy a snack while staying snuggly warm. Snuggie is made of ultra-soft, thick, luxurious fleece with oversized sleeves so you can move your arms and use your hands and still be wrapped in warmth.
Oh, you. Do I play the big intro or do I not play the big intro? I don't know what to...
Hit it, Steve.
How are we proceeding here?
What's up? This is Scott Wiley. Wiley.
I love this dude, as I know you do too, Kevin. We've had him on the show for years and years and years. Scott Weiland playing both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night number one, Saturday the 13th of December with his band STP. Night number two as a solo artist. The new solo record comes out tomorrow. And Scott, miraculously, is not in our studio, but is on the phone with us right now.
And I am in transit.
What happened, Scott?
I couldn't get my alarm system to alarm itself.
Your house alarm? You couldn't get it to turn on?
Yeah. You know, you put in a little code there, and it normally works. And so I couldn't figure out, it went around to all the windows and that. And so there was a problem. And I had some workers coming in today, actually. Contractors. Sort of had to get that situation kind of.
I think I understand. You were heading here today, and then you realized you had a problem with your alarm at your home, so you turned around and you went back.
No, actually, I was there.
You couldn't leave.
And I did wake myself up early. I was actually at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Let's see. Give me your address if you're not there and it's open.
Not much left.
I'd like to pick up some stuff if you don't mind.
Now that we know the place is empty, right?
Couple weeks is all they're taking.
Well, Scott, we were obviously we had a lot of questions for you. We're looking forward to catching up with you, and I know that we'll get a chance to do that at Acoustic Christmas. But let's start with the basics for your fans who may not know what a big, big night it is for you tonight. Your new solo CD is called Happy in Galoshes, and that's coming out tomorrow. Correct. And you've got a bunch of stuff going on in Hollywood tonight, right?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I say you got a bunch of stuff. You got a big night for Weiland fans in Hollywood tonight.
Yes, definitely. I probably haven't worked this hard since Core.
Wow.
So does that mean you were just skating through Velvet Revolver?
took a few years
off?
You know, what we did with Velvet Revolver was, we would do like a press junket, and... And by that time, it was my feeling was, I'm not going to do, kind of menial bunk press. If it's something that is respectable, I feel like I've, as far as the media goes, and especially now that the written media has become more like, gossip rags,
right.
And even music media. So I sort of, really limited myself and didn't, do a lot of interviews. But for this record, it comes out on my own label, and I am basically responsible as one of the three heads of the label, to not only promote my own record because... we wear a lot of hats, but I'm also, it's my baby, it's all of the emotions, all of my, emotional experiences that I've gone through over, the last 8 years, that are out there. And I want to do it justice.
And Bean was mentioning tonight you're going to be doing a live performance in the main courtyard at Hollywood and Highland at 9 o'clock. That's open to the public. And then afterwards, you're going to go to the Virgin Megastore, Hollywood and Highland. And listeners can buy the album, get in line, and then you're going to sign it.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
So you do have a full night of activity planned tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Me, Let me give away some tickets, by the way, because we have them. We're going to hook up the K-Rock fans right now. If you want a pair of passes to see Weiland performing in Hollywood and Highland tonight, and a pair of passes when Scott plays with his band on the Jimmy Kimmel Show on Wednesday night, you can call right now. We got three pairs of both of those at 1-800-520-1067. Scott, one of the interviews that I read with you recently about the new CD that comes out tomorrow called Happy in Galoshes, I don't remember the exact quote, but paraphrasing you, you said something like, there's art and then there's commerce, and I've done plenty of commerce or made plenty of commercial records, and this one I'm just going to make it for me. It's what I like, and you don't really care whether other people like it or not. Is that fairly accurate?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think of the records that I've made as being commercial records, although, I mean, they've been successful in a commercial way, but although after a period of time, especially as the record industry is sort of, you know, fell to pieces.
Right.
Kind of imploded, you know, really. It's like, you know, eating itself. There was really a huge pressure put on, major artists to write hits, because it was really about, those big radio hits. And
right.
With SCT, we always picked our singles, always. I mean, and you know, there really was never a clash with the label.
Meaning you, the band, versus the label picking you.
Yes. Yeah. The only time there was with our first single. They wanted Plush, and we said no. It's got to be Sex Type Thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we come out with Plush right away, it will be a big hit, and it will be the end of our career. And we want to come out with something that was rocking, and you know, like it's like, you know, the build it, you know, from the ground up. But
right.
That doesn't happen anymore. That's why independent labels are the, you know, once again, the wave of the future. Just like mm-hmm. Atlantic Records itself was an independent label.
That's right.
You know, and so. You know, it really, it's like, that's the spirit behind, you know, what I said. I can see
how the record companies, though, who are in dire straits would, not meaning to do it badly, but would just call up people who have some success and go, hey, you got anything else for us?
Got any hits?
I mean, I can see how that would be the pressure.
Yeah. When you have a streak, a group of people, like, just say, like, Velvet Revolver, with myself and three guys from Guns N' Roses, who they also had their own, you know, creative control.
Right.
Why wreck a streak like that, you know, and try to, say, well, let's put these singles up for testing, you know. I think that, between the instincts that we have, and, you know, the producer, like, you know, on the last record was Brendan. I think we have a pretty good ability to, you know, judge what would be the,
sure.
best right. single.
Well, this is going to be interesting for you with the solo record then, Scott, because like you said earlier, you're wearing two hats. You're going to have to be the business guy and do what's best for the record, and you're also going to have to be true to your art and release the songs that you feel most passionately about.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way it was with the beginning of STP. It's like gut instinct, really. And when it comes to the marketing and all of that stuff, especially like now, a lot of, you know, street marketing, which was actually real street teams, has become cyber street teams,
right.
And
MySpace.
I know nothing about that stuff. You know, it's like, I mean, my kids know more about that stuff than I do. You know, and it's amazing. You know,
this is Scott Weiland on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're talking about his appearance tonight, which is, by the way, open to the public if you want to see Scott performing at 9 o'clock in the main courtyard at Hollywood and Highland. And then if you want to sign to get the new album signed by Scott Weiland at the Virgin Megastore there, you buy the new album, then get in line. They're going to sign, I guess you're going to sign the first 500 people at least tonight out there. Hey, Scott, we're almost out of time this morning, and I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to hook up with you face-to-face. But we're going to be at both nights of Acoustic Christmas, as are you. Maybe we'll get a chance by that time. We'd have heard the new album. We'll get a chance to spend a little bit more time and talk some more about Happy and Galoshes, all right?
Yeah, it'd be great. Set up a time in the dressing room beforehand.
Okay.
You know, which would be a perfect time, actually, because you guys are there live on air, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we'll there both nights, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Scott.
All right, we're psyched to have you on the bill both nights. We're really excited to see the band again, and we're excited to see your new solo show. So sorry we missed you this morning, but we'll catch up in a couple weeks on site. All right, dude?
Hey, thank you very much, man.
Why don't you make a bet? How about you make a bet for a change?
What are you talking about?
Bean. Always on the sideline.
What?
Well, that's the bet you should make. You two should make that bet. I want to watch more people make bets.
He does like to encourage bets.
Get off the bench. Get in the game.
I enjoy watching the excitement of the gambling.
Ebenezer,
that's all without...
go into the vault and pull out a few farthings from your massive wealth and make a little wager on your own if you're so interested. You freaking skinflint.
Don't be a sore loser, Ralph, just because you had to pay me $40
today. I don't mind losing. Mm. I mind people on the sidelines going, oh, look at those guys. Oh, yeah, do that. Hey, why don't you go do that? Why don't you do something?
But I am sitting right now on a couch made of $1 million bills right now on this couch.
True.
So why waste it by betting on movie
and the skin of
tickets.
Teenagers who have gone missing on the island?
It's 8:58 on the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph is here with our final showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What are people talking about?
What the bet we were talking about off the air before we allowed you to hear us was this Chinese Democracy, which hit stores on Sunday. The long-delayed CD by Guns N' Roses. Well, apparently China isn't too pleased with the recording because it's entitled Chinese Democracy. They're feeling
a
little threatened.
They don't like democracy.
That's right. The ruling Communist Party has a newspaper there in China, and the headline reads, American band releases album venomously attacking China.
This is not a party atmosphere at all.
In the article, they describe the album as part of a plot by some in the West to grasp and control the world using democracy as a pawn. Yes, we're going to take over the world by using democracy. Worst ever weapon for imperialism, by the way.
Through spokesman Axl Rose.
That's right.
Not very dependable.
When asked to expound upon their view, the Chinese foreign minister said, "We don't need to comment on that." That's the beauty of communism. Isn't
it? Yeah, that's right.
They only do what they want to do. So,
but who gets the last laugh when President Obama names Axl Rose as his new Secretary of State today?
Aha! Or Ambassador to China, even more important.
That's right.
Both would be awesome.
It's great to be here in Beijing!
Take a look at the hot movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Twilight. Outperforming even the most generous expectations, $70.6 million it made over the weekend.
I heard one guy on Jackpot. Friday that pretty much nailed that. Did you guys hear that guy?
That would be you,
on
Kevin.
On Friday, that guy that said $70 million?
Oh. You were the one, Kevin.
Mm. Yeah.
You said that you thought
it
was going to make
me. That's right.
$70 million. I said it wouldn't, and we laid down a wager of that effect, and you won, and I was wrong, and you were right.
Just barely, though. But I'll take it.
I didn't lose any money on that bet at all.
You guys should make more bets that I can watch and be involved in without participating. I'll send you some more emails over the weekend, counting down how it's going.
Being dissed.
I thought you might be interested.
About 25 emails from Friday through Sunday with like
or two.
Update on the new bet. Here's what's happening now. It's on pace for $75 million.
Every time a new theater would.
I don't know.
He was going from theater to theater throughout all of America, asking for box office receipts. Could not have been more passionately curious about the bet.
That's true.
And could not have been less involved.
I was invested emotionally.
You haven't been invested emotionally in anything in years. Here's a clip from Twilight.
Lunchtime's almost over. Should we drink some more blood?
Yeah!
There you
go.
Wow. You can see how scary he is. Yeah,
sounds scary.
Quantum of Solace was number 2 at the box office. $27.4 million. Just edged out Bolt, which made about $27 million. Good enough to make it number 3. Madagascar 2, Role Models, Changeling, High School Musical 3, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and The Secret Life of Bees, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Beyonce and Jay-Z aren't just Hollywood's most beautiful couple, they're also the most profitable. Forbes magazine reports that the couple pulled in $161 million last year. That's a power couple right there.
No kidding.
Forbes released its list of top 5 money-making couples in show business,
And right after Beyonce and Jay-Z were Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith, who made about $86 million last year. Then Victoria and David Beckham, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and Brangelina rounding out your top five. Not too shabby. And Will Smith, although he's only second on the list of power couples, would be number one on the list about the nicest guys in Hollywood. Apparently, he went to the Miami Children's Hospital last week, took a break from filming his latest movie there in Florida, and showed up with a ton of stuffed animals, DVDs, and signed autographs, and took pictures with all the sick kids that were in the hospital. The president of the hospital said they were deeply moved by his gesture, and he brought a true spirit of joy to the lives of their little patients. So, pretty cool thing for Will Smith to do.
Very nice.
Seems like a very nice guy. I love him so much.
Today's celebrity birthdays, former Beatles drummer Pete Best is 67. Colin Hanks can be seen on Mad Men, was in Roswell. He's 31 years old. He's also in that Orange County. Remember that movie with Jack Black?
That's right.
Boy,
yeah.
Did that blow.
But he's a real good actor. Catherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy turns 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to our special guests on this morning's program, including the CEA spokesperson, Jim Berry. He gave us a great website. He's the Consumer Electronics Association guy. He gave us a great website today to check out if you're in the market for any kind of electronics and you know very little about it, and that is Digital Tips. .org. Also, thanks to Scott Weiland for sort of joining us today. His new CD in stores tomorrow and available for download is called Happy in Galoshes. And, of course, you can see Scott both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Stand by for your chance to win those tickets.
It's gotten bad enough that now when I'm walking around, I hear anyone talking about any website, I start singing the Thriller music.
Yeah. I know.
It's not good. I think I'm being destroyed. This afternoon, Kevin Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, we're going to talk about a new Beatles song. There's another new,
finally,
recently discovered.
Finally, some rarity that they're going to release.
And it's
they keep themselves that stuff to themselves all the time.
And they're going to have another one each year for the rest of our lives, so we might as well get used to it. But this is
how
apparently
could there be something left, by the way? Haven't they gone through every square inch of the vault at the BBC or whatever?
Nope.
This sounds like BS.
One left.
This is experimental. By the way, if you label something experimental, that means really bad on a lot of levels. But it's experimental. It's 14 minutes.
Wow.
McCartney admits it. He says he turned on the recorder and they just walked around the studio doing whatever they wanted. Seriously, that's how he describes
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's not a
song. Do
we
song. Need to hear that for 14 minutes?
No.
No.
But they're going to release it, so very excited about that. Plus, more details and more tickets for you to go to K-Rock's Almost Good Christmas 2008.
Cool. Stick around for Cat Corbett, 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next, including Kings of Leon, also some Jane's Addiction. We got the new one from Shinedown, Sublime, Incubus, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.
With the internet out there and music getting released and bands, you know, they can't release a CD without it being downloaded first, having all kinds of problems. It's fascinating to me that they're still finding old songs from old bands. There's a new Beatles track, for example.
Oh, come on.
Beatles. A new, just-discovered Beatles song.
Didn't they put out like, albums and albums and albums in the anthology series and in the BBC series of every track that they ever recorded during the time that band was together?
This is a 14-minute lost Beatles track called Carnival of Light.
Where the hell did they lose it?
Well, let's see if we can get some answers. We actually have Sir Paul McCartney on the phone. Good morning, Paul.
Well, hello, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Where was this song hidden?
It was in the vault.
In the vault?
The vault's at, Abbey Road, the Apple Studio.
And it was recorded when, Paul?
We did it back in 67.
1967, okay.
It was an electronic music festival.
Okay.
And they asked us to do a track for it, so we all got in the studio, and this is what we came up with, Carnival of Light.
Hmm. So when 1968 rolled around and you didn't release it, then at least you had 1969, and then it got to be 1970, and then you broke up, and then it got to be 80, and then it got to be 90, and then it got to be 2000. It never showed its face, but now all of a sudden in 2008, here it is.
Well, we really didn't know what had happened to it. It was only played the one time at the festival.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized I was using it as a coaster on my coffee table.
Is that right?
I was sitting my hot and cold beverages on it. And I said, oh, you might want to hear this.
Now, Paul, what does improvised mean? Because I'm not a record producer, but it seems like you write songs, then you record them. What's improvised?
Well, this was an experimental piece. So we all got in the studio, and I just turned on the microphones, and I said, all right, let's just f*** off.
Paul, you have to watch your language if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So it's just saying whatever comes to mind, playing wacky sound effects. I mean, how is that music?
It's not.
Sorry, that answers the question why it wasn't released.
I think there may be a buck or two in it.
Oh, I see. So you're going to try.
It's worth doing.
You're going to try and sell it.
No, we're not going to give it away.
Okay.
I need to make some cash.
Well, aren't you super wealthy?
Well, yeah, but, you know, since the last divorce, I lost a bit of it.
Yeah, I guess.
So I want to make some more.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to beat up people by anything.
That is true.
All right, so you're in the studio in January of 1967. You take a break from Penny Lane, which is the song that you were working on mainly that day, and you go in and you record this 14-minute masterpiece. And I think, Kevin, we do have a clip of it. Is that right?
We do, yes.
It's the best work we've ever done, I think.
The best work you've ever done?
Absolutely. It's very interesting.
Okay, here you go. Lost Beatles track.
Barcelona! Barcelona!
Are you all right? Are you all right? Yoko's so ugly.
Shut up, Paul.
Looky, your ass is like a cookie.
I can't believe I'm the first one who's gonna die.
How do you know that?
Barcelona!
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Ringo's got less talent than that guy.
Ooh! Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
No one has less talent than that guy. Barcelona! Barcelona!
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I'm dead.
Are you a regular Duck fan? Will you watch all the time, him?
Barcelona! Barcelona!
I'm going to marry a woman with one leg.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
I love women with one leg.
That was recorded in 1967?
Yeah, it's amazing how we foreshadowed so many things.
It's a masterpiece, Paul. I'm sorry we ever doubted you.
We thought so far into the future.
Yeah?
I wish I just could have warned myself not to sing that freaking Freedom song.
Yeah, that was a bad song,
that song
wasn't it?
Sucked.
Yeah, it is Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. You can go to the website 24 hours a day and find out what song you're listening for as well all weekend long, even though it's a short work week.
Okay.
We'll be giving away tickets the entire time. Let's talk about Miss Double December. This is a Kevin and Bean promotion that we started, frankly, not long enough ago.
I think maybe about 8 years now we've done it, ever since the beautiful Bridget became our first Miss Double December a few years back, and then Melissa, mm-hmm. and then Veronica. Boy, I say those names and I have flashbacks to warm times with each of them. Christy, Yasmin, Dave has particularly warm memories of Yasmin.
Sure.
Lauren, Cassidy, of course, the current Miss Double December. But it's that time of year we are looking for you if you want to represent the show as Miss Double D 2009.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
We have a page up at the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com where you can watch video highlights of last year's crowning ceremony where Cassidy took over the crown to be the new Miss Double December. And that could be you next time. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to be broadcasting live. We'll have details for you very soon on the radio once it's all locked down. But basically, today is the day. This is the final deadline. If you are 21 or over and are packing them, we need to hear from you if you'd like to apply to be Miss Double D.
We'd like you to unpack them, to be honest.
That's true.
Go to KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page. You can send in a picture. You can answer a bunch of questions. And then on December 5th, we will have the anointing ceremony like we did last year. Here's some highlights from last year.
Kelly has taken her shirt off, and in place of what you would call pasties in the stripper business, she has a felt Kevin and Bean on one of each of her voluptuous breasts.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Do you need some help getting the glue off or anything, Kelly? Are you okay?
I don't, but I wanted to show Ralph I actually put his name on my vagina like he requested.
Is that right?
Oh, my
sure
God.
Enough. She certainly did. Wow. Tawny is able to put her fist into her mouth.
I want to be this Double December.
Lisa May.
Lisa May.
Hello, Irene.
I would like you anytime, night or day.
Nice.
Up and down. I forgot the rest of that.
That's okay. That's all right. There's nothing wrong. You've got that. You've just received one free pass to punch anybody in the face you'd like to. Who would it be and why? How do you feel, Cass?
Everyone who voted.
Kind of breathless right now. I was not expecting this, but I feel bitchin'. They are real.
They are real.
The crowd wants to kiss it to go on.
Now, Ralph, how does the crown change hands? I forget.
Well, if you've ever listened to the show, you know that the crown actually changes hands through a passionate kiss from the former Miss Double December.
Oh, that's right.
Miss Double December.
I remember that now that you say that. Yes. I do remember that.
So we could have our current Miss Double December, Lauren, come up on stage.
All right.
Our Miss Double December for next year. Cassidy, please share.
Oh!
Whoa. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Beautiful.
The crown has been passed. Congratulations to Cassidy, our brand new Miss Double December 2008.
It is pathetic. We'll admit. It's pathetic. I mean, it's basically just a chance to get hot chicks together to kiss.
You don't think we know that?
Just pathetic.
We know that.
But we want everyone to know
that. You are pathetic, and we know that.
We're fine with that.
Okay.
But you don't mind it, right? If we basically take advantage of this position just to see hot chicks kiss, right?
Look,
at least it's okay
like
with
to
you.
Look too.
We don't have any choice. I mean, we're bound by our natures. We must do this. So go to the website, Kevin and Bean page, Miss Double December. You can apply until midnight tonight.
Yes.
And then Wednesday morning, we are going to announce the top 10.
Or are we dancers?
The Killers have a new CD in stores today, and it includes that song Human, where they ask the question, are we human or are we dancer?
It's a pretty legitimate question, by the way. You got to give them credit for that. Their new album is called Day and Age, available in stores and for download today. Our guest from Cinco de la Tarde last week, Kanye West's new one, 808s and Heartbreaks, also in stores today. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde on the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday afternoon. What's going on, Argar?
As we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Twilight, most successful movie ever in the history of mankind.
It is rather popular, it turns out.
That happens to be about teenage girls falling in love with bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Twilight made $70.6 million this weekend. Oh, those sad, sad teenage girls just went over and over and over again. When you think about it. Okay, go ahead.
What, Bean?
I'm sorry.
You go now.
Kevin, did you go? I know you were interested in seeing this movie.
Love vampires.
You do.
Love vampire stories. Watch True Blood. Watch everything that comes out. Seems like it's a little...
more for women.
G-rated.
Yeah.
It's for sad teenage girls who have no life.
I'm not into the romance of the stories as much as I am the lust, and it seems like perhaps the lust is not in this particular one.
Yeah, this guy's the flimsiest vampire ever.
Here's a clip.
You know, you guys are really giving off a negative human energy. We prefer to take our darkness somewhere else, per se. All right, Count Fagula, you go do that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, that was South Park. That was not Twilight.
You know, Kevin and I made a wager whether it would make $70 million or not, and Kevin won because it made $70.6 million. And in retrospect, I should have realized it would easily make $70 million because its primary audience has nothing else to do on the weekends.
That's true.
But go to see this movie. All these lonely teenage girls again. Who can't have a real boyfriend and want to be with Team Edward, they can just go and go and go and go and go. And go.
Yeah.
And go.
And go.
Quantum of Solace was number two at the box office, $27.4 million. Just edged out Bolt in its debut, made $27 million. Good enough to make it number three. Then Madagascar 2, Role Models, Changeling, High School Musical, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and The Secret Life of Bees. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Oh, I find this hard to believe. If these kids couldn't make it work, who can? The British tabloid News of the World is announcing today that Amy Winehouse...
Oh, no, no, no.
...and her husband, Blake Fielder Civil, have separated.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
Their marriage lasted a scant 17 months.
All of which during he was in prison.
He was in prison during all
right.
that.
I could stay married if my spouse was in jail.
Once he got out, no, there's just no way it could work. According to the newspaper, Winehouse told them, it's over. It was never going to last. We were only together for sex.
Oh!
And then Amy. He saw her when he got out of prison.
Oh!
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Rumor has it that Blake has left Amy for a German supermodel named Sophie Schandorf.
Well, where'd he meet her? He was just out of jail like 3 weeks
maybe
ago.
Maybe in rehab. Yeah, if you got a chance to go for a supermodel from Germany over face disease. You got to pick that, right?
I think Lisa brings up a great point. I mean, we never heard that she visited him even one time in prison. So he thought she still looked the way she did when he went to jail a year and a half ago. And yeah. Look how bad she looks compared to that now.
Even then, she didn't look so hot.
Right.
But a year
but significantly better.
Yeah. He would come out of jail and go, whoa, my God, who's this?
Where's Amy?
What happened?
Apparently it was a nasty sex life that kept them together. Amy gave the paper details about their sex life, including the fact that they had frequent threesomes in their sex. Apparently there was Blake and then Amy and then someone to catch Amy's teeth. That was usually how the threesome worked out. So
they had a teeth catcher?
Yeah. If you got Amy, you got to make sure.
Specialty job.
You can lose those molars.
Everyone pause. I got to put Amy's teeth back in.
MovieVone.com has given us a list of the 25 most inspiring movies in cinema history.
Hmm. 25 most
inspirational. Oh, come on.
You can't use that language.
Don't you want to be inspired?
Sorry.
From the 25, we got Forrest Gump at 25.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That inspired me not to watch that movie again. That's what inspired me to do. Stand and Deliver, remember that? With
I didn't see that
Edward James Olmos?
Oh, yeah. In school, right?
Yeah, he played Jaime Escalante, the math teacher who turned all those kids into scholars.
That was pretty cool, actually.
I didn't see that
You got to learn how to use numbers! Or something to that effect.
But were you inspired, Lisa, when you saw it? You may have thought it was a good movie,
well,
good
was,
story,
was
good
inspired.
Acting.
If I were a teacher, I would have been. Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty specific.
There's a lot of teachers.
If I was a low-income student, I'd be inspired, believing that maybe I could pass the equivalency exam or whatever it is they took.
SAT.
All right.
Rudy, number 22 on the list.
Sure.
Inspiring for little guys everywhere who want to play football for Notre Dame. That's another subset.
That's pretty timely.
Shawshank Redemption was number 18. Philadelphia.
That movie made me want to go to prison.
Philadelphia was 16. Field of Dreams, 15. Aaron Brockovich was 14.
Nope.
Didn't that inspire you, Psycho Mike?
To be a whore.
Yeah.
Or an activist.
Here's your top 10. Hey, Grapes of Wrath, legendary depression film starring Henry Fonda. Hoosiers, that's a great film with Gene
that
Hackman
is good.
As the coach. Norma Rae, the union organizer movie with Sally Field. Best Years of Our Lives, about World War II. Schindler's List, number 5. That is inspirational. Made me want to
hilarious
just take it easy on the Jews. That's what inspired me to do.
I rented Schindler's Fist over the weekend.
That's a different film.
It was not.
No. It inspires you to do something else.
Not what I expected.
Rocky, only number 5 on the list,
what?
By the way.
What?
Fifth on the list.
What?
Top 25 most inspirational movies ever. Fifth. It's bull.
You can't use that language.
You can't say that, Ralph. I learned that.
You can't say bullshit.
Kevin.
I will refrain.
All right.
It's a Wonderful Life, number 4. Perennial Christmas movie with Jimmy Stewart. Your old savings loan. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter. Go f*** yourself.
we can't use that
language.
That was
the director's cut.
Oh, okay.
Love that version. Right. The Miracle Worker, about Helen Keller and her teacher.
Don't know anything about that?
You taught her. You never saw that?
Nope.
That is a good movie. Helen Keller, of course, the legendary deaf, dumb, and blind broad, who was the
guy's a mean pinball.
Couldn't get through to her, so they hired Annie Sullivan, this teacher, who finally was able to let her connect with the outside world, taught her how to say water and mother and father, and then she became like a scholar. She wrote books and whatnot.
Okay.
She did.
Still haven't seen it.
And won't, I'd like really to point out as well.
Yeah, neither were Helen Keller. She never saw the movie, by the way. The Miracle Worker, or as she used to call it, a Miracle Worker! Oh... Glory.
Oh.
No, just Glory.
I did that over the weekend, too.
That's the story about the Civil War and all the soldiers they
Come
had.
Come on!
All right.
What?
You can't say that.
Oh, my God.
They were good.
All the rules don't go out the window just because we're on in the afternoon.
Morgan
right?
Freeman, Denzel Washington.
You can't drink this much before you broadcast.
Martin Lawrence, Tyler Perry. Cedric the Entertainer.
Stop it.
OJ
Simpson.
You're just making up names of black people, aren't you?
I'm making them up.
Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman did it? That's right, yeah. George Washington Carver is in there handing out peanuts.
Not in the,
he was
not
in
the movie.
He wasn't.
Not.
He was dead. Long dead.
Desmond Tutu. Amazing cast. Yeah. You've never seen
Maddox
it.
Lewis.
And the number one most inspirational movie of all time, according to MoviePhone.com, My Left Foot. My Left Foot. Story of Christy Brown, the Irish artist who was all f***ed up.
I didn't see that movie.
I can only use my left foot.
Yeah.
And he used to draw with his left foot.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that movie.
It's
either.
Very inspirational.
That's not a list for me.
Yeah, no
kidding.
Like
I gotta be inspired.
Rocky's about the only movie that I recognize out of all those. I'm out.
Speaking of boxing. Did you see Hatton fight over the weekend?
I did not, no.
Oh.
How do you do?
He's good. He pummeled this one dude.
Did he?
Yeah.
This one dude or the guy he was fighting?
No, just some dude after the fight.
On his way to the ring. It was weird.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Katherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy in Roswell. She's 30 years old
teeth.
Today. She's got some teeth on her.
Yep.
Colin Hanks from Mad Men and Roswell and Orange County, the feature film. He is 31. And former Beatles drummer Pete Best turned 67 years old today. And he's still not over the fact that he missed out.
Well, I wouldn't be either.
He did leave the Beatles or got fired, depending on who you believe, just before they got big. And yeah. It was the Beatles.
There's no good answer either way, by the way. If you quit, you're an ass. If they fired you, you're an ass.
You're an ass either way.
You're not good enough. You're a loser.
And they went on to be the Beatles, and he's still Pete Best.
He's 67. He hasn't killed himself yet. How is that possible?
How's he still alive?
I'd be dead in like 66 right. If that happened to me.
Right.
It's like, yeah. It's time for me to turn the gas on in the oven and close all the windows. That's what I'd be saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. What do we have on tap for tomorrow morning, Kevin?
Tomorrow morning, we're going to take a look at the new video games with Adam Sessler from G4. We are going to talk to the retarded policeman.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
In the studio, talking about how you can get the retarded policeman on DVD.
That's a great Christmas gift right there.
It is.
And Jason Statham, also tomorrow morning, talking about Transporter 3.
That's right. I'm in another movie about Transporter. It's incredible. I drive a car. It's very exciting, and I'll be able to go say it.
We'll see you back here with all that tomorrow morning, but don't go anywhere. Nicole Alvarez is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including the Kings of Leon, also Everlast, Serge Tankian,
Glendale,
Incubus, Paramore, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.